Day FM.
It's that time of the week again, so sit back, relax, and enjoy the Dermot and Dave Show Best Of podcast. But not if you're driving. Definitely don't sit back. In fact, sit up now.
It's not every day you listen to a podcast that starts with a reference to a movie that nobody remembers except the three people in the podcast.
Excuse me, everyone remembers it because it was iconic?
No.
It is.
It was not a hit. It was a great movie. It's an underrated movie, but it was not a hit.
I went to see it in the cinema.
Yes.
So did I.
Yeah,
I
bought two tickets.
Yeah, two tickets.
VHS, maybe.
I think when they go the box office records for the opening weekend of this movie,
Google
they
it.
Went, in Ireland, two tickets were sold.
No, I went with friends, so that's at least three tickets.
Go on, Google the gross revenue of this movie. We haven't given away the movie yet, so we'll keep it vague for a second.
2002 film.
Mm-hmm.
Quite the cast. Some big names there.
Some that I watch in other things now and go, Shoes and Crossroads.
All the time.
Oh, I gave it away.
Oh, no.
Maria, in her Guess the Movie competition, has wrecked it for everyone.
Failed.
Yes. Crossroads. What a movie. Okay, Maria, tell us all the details.
Let me see.
Zoe Saldana's in it.
She's not.
Is she?
Yeah, she's the friend.
She is. She's the friend. Yeah.
And Taryn.
Okay. Taryn Manning. Kim Cattrall, Dan Aykroyd.
Who was the main fella? He never really went on to do anything, did he? Ben. Where is all this?
I was going to say, how do you know his character name in Crossroads?
Do you know what it was? At the time, she'd put out the video for I Love Rock and Roll.
Uh-huh.
And her and Justin had just broken up,
yeah.
I think. And she had Ben and a phone number written on her hand in the video. And everyone's like, oh, Ben Affleck. And
yeah.
She's like, no, it's obviously about the film.
Right.
It was a massive rumour that she had cheated on Justin with Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Not Wade Robson, which is what we all know. Happens.
Yes.
His name is Anson Mount.
Anson Mount. Like, that is definitely not someone I've ever heard of since.
Also appeared as Captain Christopher Pike in season 2 of Star Trek Discovery.
Okay.
Anson.
What a strange name.
He's nearly 50 now.
What's wrong with that, Emer?
No, it's just last time I saw him, he was 24.
Okay, that's fair.
Time goes on.
But it was 2002.
It says Crossroads received negative reviews from film critics. However, they considered it a better effort when compared to Mariah Carey's 2001 film, Glitter.
Oh, Glitter. Oh, my God. Remember that abomination.
Despite the movie's negative response from critics, it was a box office success,
woo,
grossing over $61.1 million worldwide in 3 months.
It was a hit.
Okay, 61
actually,
million is pretty good.
I'm going to try and watch it again over the weekend, I think.
Yeah, where is Crossroads?
Oh, there's a really bad blooper in it, actually. I don't know where this information is coming from. In one scene, Taryn Manning's character, they're all sitting in like a hotel bedroom and they're all in the room. So the camera is looking at all four of them.
Yeah.
And she is talking to someone who's not there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's
gesturing. Sorry, I decided to Google Crossroads blooper. YouTube Crossroads blooper. And the search that came up is Crossroads bloopers. So there are more than
sure
one.
There's loads of fun of Britney being all zany like she used to be back in the day.
Britney Spears MTV making the movie Crossroads full episode 17
yes.
minutes.
Oh, my God.
I miss all of those MTV shows. I miss making the Making the Video?
Making the Video,
Becoming.
Making the Movie. Becoming.
Loved Becoming. Do you remember Becoming?
No.
Faking It.
What was Faking It?
Faking It was you'd get a guy who, a high school guy, and he'd go like, I'm John, I'm a nerd, I've never played sports, but I really want to play football, but everyone in my school thinks I'm a nerd, and they bring him to another school where no one knows him, and they go, hey, this is John, he's a quarterback for the Idaho Cuntaneros, and they go, oh my God, John, you're a jock, and you're cool, and you're awesome, and then he fakes it, and he's never played football, whatever, and his idea is just to convince all the other people that he's a super jock, and then eventually he'll come and go, hey, I'm not a super jock, I'm actually, it's like Undercover Boss except with no payoff.
But then does he have to go back to his normal life where everybody calls him a nerd?
Yeah,
that's a bit
mean. Remember Maid was same kind of idea. It'd be like, I really want to be a cheerleader, and then they'd get them like a cheer coach, and they give them everything involved getting a makeover
getting
at some
makeover,
point. But the best part about Maid was on MTV UK sometimes they showed the normal episode and then sometimes they showed the episode and they had Alex Zane doing the voiceover on it, and he just absolutely ripped the piss out of the whole thing. And like at the end of every episode, you go, and it was a great success, and then Dave died and he was never seen or heard of again. So good.
There is an amazing video called Crossroads Bloopers. It is 39 minutes long, but it's not from the movie. It's from the Carlton Television revival of the soap opera Crossroads.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
So just for clarity, in case anyone thinks we're talking about the Carlton Television series, no, we're talking about the Britney Spears movie.
That was always the one that was on when you're off sick and you're waiting for like Sally or whatever to start.
Sally.
Or what was the other one? Jenny Jones.
Jenny Jones. What a TV show that was. That was actually my favourite one.
Oh, yeah.
Of those.
Big time. And you'd be off sick from school, sitting up on the couch. Jenny Jones into Ricky Lake,
see,
into Sally.
This is where you people with your off school sick. No, I was a grown adult with a job and I sat at home and watched Jenny Jones in the morning because I worked for myself, and I would get up, drive my mother to work at 9 in like a sleepy haze. I was very safe, RSA. But I'd like put on a baseball cap and drive her to work, and then I'd have her car. Then I'd go like watch Jenny Jones and eat like 7 bowls of cereal, possibly even watch an X-Division movie that you could rent at 10 and bring back at 12. It was a pound at the time.
God, Dave.
Then I would start work at about 1 o'clock. I would collect my mum from work at 5 o'clock. Then I would go back to work and I would finish up at about 3 in the morning, go to bed, start again, get up at 9, go back to bed, watch Jenny Jones. Like, this was my life. You say we're home from school from sick. I was a fully functioning adult.
We were both living our
fully
best
functioning
lives.
Is a lot.
Yeah, fully
a
functioning. That's not
stretch.
The definition of a fully functioning adult at
no,
all.
No, it's
that's
not.
More a depressed student.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
if you
yeah.
subbed in pot noodle for cereal. What's the difference, really?
Yeah, you're right. Right, look, this is the podcast. The best of Dermot and Dave podcast. All the mess and none of the music. Weird week on the Dermot and Dave show because I was off for 3 days. And then when I came back, Dermot was off for 2 days. So
it's like you're divorced. Yeah. And we've had to deal, like we were in like mom's house for the first 3 days and now we're in dad's house for the last two.
We hate when our dads fight.
I'm glad that you made Dermot the mam and me the dad. I didn't expect that, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I think I did that
subconsciously.
Like,
yeah.
Subconsciously.
Now I think about it, yeah.
You think, no, Dermot's more mammy, I'm more daddy. Okay, interesting. Okay, we'll get to the bottom of this off the microphones. But from now, listen to the best of Dermot and Dave Weird Show Week of the something of September 2021. Good luck to you.
Kind of big news around everyone's talking about today. And there's that feeling of optimism again, which is great that things are opening back up. And of course, there was the pictures of Tánaiste Leo Varadkar over at the music festival in the UK. We'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. But Stephanie Rowan is from the Today FM newsroom. And she is here to tell us about what's going to be permitted and all the easing of restrictions today. How are you, Stephanie?
Morning, how are you?
Good. So just wondering, what can we do now that we couldn't do, say, on Friday?
Okay, so as you know, by October the 22nd, most COVID restrictions are going to ease and everything at this stage is now going to be done in a couple of different phases. So another of those phases starts today. So organised indoor events can resume with a 60% attendance if all adults are fully vaccinated. So I'm talking here about cinemas, theatres, bingo halls, trade fairs, exhibitions, conferences, business events. They can now take place indoors if people are fully vaccinated with 60% and 50% if there's a mixture, some people aren't vaccinated. Next up,
Stephanie, just things, you have to be seated, isn't that the thing? So there won't be any sort of mad mosh pits or standing room only gigs happening. It'll all have to be very civilized. The way our Dave likes to go to a metal show, actually, he's far too important and too much of a VIP to go to the mosh pit anymore. He likes to sit in a seat in the balcony.
So it's all about organised. Exactly, you can't do a big mosh pit or something in the middle of the bingo hall or something like that. The next one is, if you would, is the live music. So this is huge because I know couples at weddings who've been like putting a playlist on their phone, for example, and stuff like that. But now you can actually have a band and you can actually dance. You can put the tie around your head. You can do rock the boat. Apparently, you can. you can go for it. I don't know how comfortable people will be doing that, but I guess it's fantastic news that live music can return. And, you know, for all those people who've been out of work for, God, what, 18 months now, you can play in a bar as well or a pub or something like that. So that's great news.
Yeah, it sure is.
Definitely. Next up, confirmations of communions are allowed to resume today. All religious ceremonies can go ahead with 50% capacity. And again, like, I know girls and boys, I know my own niece, I think she's in third class now, she still hasn't made her communion. So, you know, it's great that they're going ahead.
And so how do they do that with 50% capacity? That means obviously you probably bring one or two adults with you, but not the whole family and distant relations and Auntie Nora from Belmullet.
Yeah, but think of your local church or wherever you go to. Churches are absolutely huge. Most churches in Ireland are quite big. So 50% capacity is a lot. You know, it really is. I think my local church, oh God, I'd say that could fit easily 600 people. So that's 300 people allowed. So I guess it will be the priests figuring it out themselves, right? How many students are going, and that means how many parents, and maybe just the sponsor or something like that. So I'd say it'll work in that way. And, you know, every time these, I find anyway, when something happens, there is a bit of trial and error as people kind of try to find their feet with how everything's going to work. So I'd say we'd have to give a bit of leeway for that over the next few weeks.
So what does it mean for the All-Ireland final this weekend then, in terms of capacity and all that?
So that's 75% for vaccinated people on sports matches. But now, correct me if I'm wrong, haven't they already made a call on the All-Ireland, and that's only going to be 50% because they're letting in a mixture? They're not going to just have vaccinated people. You're allowed to go if you're unvaccinated as well. So if they had gone the route of vaccinated people, that would have been allowed to be 75%. But as far as I'm aware, they chose to allow a mixture. So it's going to be 50% capacity for that one. But as I said, from going forward, and I don't know where you stand, and I know it's a controversy to a lot of people, but if you were going to match at the weekend and if everyone is vaccinated, 75%, that's three quarters of whatever your local GAA match or whatever you're going to, will be allowed in. Again, I guess people are going, it's going to be up to places to figure it out. If they're holding a rugby match this weekend, are they going to check people or how they're going to do it? And coach tours can also return today, which is good for tourism, and that's 75% capacity.
Okay, lovely. Stephanie Rowan from the Today FM newsroom, thanks for bringing us up to speed on all of that.
No hassle.
See you, Stephanie. Bye. So, yeah, I mean, that's very optimistic. It's not perfect just yet. Obviously, there are other countries doing a little bit more. The UK, for instance, our own Tánaiste de Leo Varadkar was there enjoying the Mighty Hoopla Festival. Maria, you were appalled?
By the picture I saw of him picking his nose. And then nobody talking about it this morning. They were all just talking about he's at a festival. Well, it's rubbish for our live music industry, but he is on his holidays and there is a festival going on where he is on his holidays. So that doesn't disgust me as much as there's a picture of our Tánaiste picking his nose sitting on the grass.
Well, there was
like
a headline in one of the newspapers saying, "Snot my problem." So you're not the only person who noticed it.
Oh, God.
I think, a lot of people, particularly in the entertainment industry, you know, people who make their living out of the entertainment industry, whether you're a performer or a lad bringing stuff out of a van or maybe you run a venue or something to do with that, they're not happy because, you know, they're the person who is seen to be implementing very, very restrictive measures is soaking it up and living it up at a festival in the UK. And as Mario's sketch pointed out so well this morning, the optics aren't great.
No.
And Mario's Leo said, no, it was grand. I could see the stage really well. you should listen back to that on todayfm.com. It was hilarious this morning. But yeah, I mean, it's funny. A lot of people are kind of divided. Some people saying, look, it was his private time. If you were on your holidays, you'd go and do whatever was open to you as long as it allowed.
I suppose it'll be hard for people to listen to him now saying, well, you know, we have to be careful and we have to be safe in reopening things and, you know, reopening the live music industry. Like, how can he say that now? He can't, because he thought it was cool enough to go to a festival in another country. So how come it's not cool to go to a festival here? I don't get it.
Well, I suppose the argument is that there's more than him making these decisions, and that he, I suppose by his own reckoning, has been a big supporter of opening up live events, you know, quicker than we have been. But there's other people at play. There's Micheál Martin and there's Neffet and there's a whole other team of people there. But, you know, if you are a performer or a DJ, or, you know, someone who is involved in the, you know, even playing in a wedding band or anything to do with the entertainment industry, it would stick, raging. It would catch in your throat a lot, you know?
Yeah, I get that.
And, you know, I suppose, you know, myself and Dave, and we've had live shows cancelled over the last year and whatever, and I suppose in some ways we'd be affected by it, and we, our noses possibly could be out of joint. But then you think, oh my God, look at the lineup that Leo was at. And you think, can we really blame him? Have a listen to this. Yeah, you see, you can stay angry at Leo if you want, but then you hear that, you see the lineup, and you're like, God, I don't blame him.
I will go to that.
If I was tarnished, I'd be there as well. And I bet you that's what's happened. That picture of Leo when he's sitting there on the grass picking his nose on the phone, he's just talking to his best makeup. And then Cheryl came on, and then Alexandra Burke, and I didn't know what to do. And then Gabrielle came on. Oh, God, you remember that? So, what do you think? 087-400-102. The FM Artful Dodger, Moving Too Fast, one of the acts that was on the lineup for the Mighty Hoopla Festival, which Leo Varadkar was pictured at, enjoying in his lovely shorts and picking his nose, which disgusted our Maria.
Yeah.
lads, will you stop? I'm so jealous listening to that lineup. You see, people get angry at Leo, and then you hear the lineup of the festival, and it's like every guilty pleasure you've had over the last 25 years.
Every song was a tune.
If I was tarnished, I'd be there as well. Anne Maria says, Paul in Longford, leave poor Leo alone. We're all guilty of picking the nose now and again.
maybe, you know, in private. And by the way, your car window, you can see through.
That's our kingdom. We can do what we like in there.
No one can see you.
If you shout at disgusting at us, we can't hear you. That's the main thing. And look, this was a festival. If some man picking his nose is the worst thing you're going to see, I don't think so. I'd say if the camera panned 10 feet to the left from Leo, there's probably a guy taking a slash against the wall and somebody else getting sick behind him. So I'd say it's okay. Someone says, everyone forgetting the point that Leo used the government plane at taxpayers' cost to pick him up from the festival. Surely this is the biggest, bigger issue. That plane. Everyone's complaining about that plane half the time. Lads, on the Leo thing, it's tone deaf and hypocritical by Leo, but that's not surprising from Irish politicians. It's really tiring and annoying, but not illegal. I can't wait for a general election, though, says Emmett in Galway. I've problem with Leo going to a gig in his own time, but it was reported he used the government jet to come home after the gig. I do have a problem with that. It just would have been a brilliant show of solidarity if Leo had waited and went to an Irish festival. As for picking the nose, more shame on who took the picture. A low thing to do. So it was a Medivac plane and at the airport, not Leo's. Is that it? Yeah. Okay, so it wasn't a government plane. We're getting news on that in now, so we'll have to learn more about that before we start pointing the finger, because there's been a lot of finger pointing over the last year and a half or so. Is Wakefield cheese or cracker, says Damo. I'm thinking cheese. Absolutely it is. And yeah, Dave would be in his absolute element.
He would love that.
There's guilty pleasures in there that we all like. God, I love that song. I don't know why. It's just one of those songs that kind of stuck with me. I think I went over to New York 6 years ago. I think that song was out around then. over to collect an award, guys. I don't want to talk about it. Okay, I will. We're going to Dover, but the awards thing was on Fifth Avenue. My wife had never been to New York. Ugh. She loves that song, and that song was making her get really excited about going to New York.
Yeah.
So then we went over and we stayed just off Times Square and went to the thing down on Fifth Avenue. We were doing yoga in Central Park. Oh, it was just
there's no place like it. Oh. I adore New York.
Not sure I could live there. It's slightly classy. If you're used to being near the sea, like in Ireland, you're never more than like 3 hours from the sea, really. Yeah. You know, so it's hard, I think. I'm not sure. We may find it a little bit harder to adjust to that kind of intense city living. But man, what a place.
So just jump into the fountain instead of doing your sea swims.
Fountain, yeah.
Here, I don't think that's the fountain, but yeah.
I started watching 9 Perfect Strangers on Amazon Prime over the weekend.
It's good, isn't it?
On your recommendation, of course.
So that's the one about the getaway.
Nicole Kidman plays this sort of mysterious owner of a really expensive wellness retreat, and these 9 people turn up all from different walks of life and things are not as they seem.
Melissa McCarthy's in it as well.
Yeah, she's so good. There's so many. That actor Michael Shannon is in it, who I absolutely love. He's always, you go, who's that? And you look at me like, oh yeah, that guy.
There's a few of them in it, actually.
Yeah, he's so good. But the cast is brilliant. It's funny, it's weird, it's kooky, it's kind of sexy.
But there's been no massive twists yet in it.
Yeah, I've been playing catch up, so I'm on ep 4 now, and I'm going to run out now, and then it's week to week.
I think it's week to week. Am I getting that wrong? No, I think we're going week to week, and episode 4 was just at the weekend.
Okay, yeah. Well, I had one of those moments where I was like, you know, my 15-year-old son came in, and he's like, hey, can I come in? Because I'm in my man cave. And usually because there's cartoons on the main telly the whole time. So I was like, okay, we'll try it. Go on, sit down. It mightn't be suitable. So I'd say literally 30 seconds in, a girl starts absolutely kissing the face off Nicole Kidman. I was like, right, that's it. Not suitable. Get out. I'm just going to stay here and check something, do some little bit of work on my laptop.
The telly won't turn off for some reason. Yeah. I have to fix it.
But it's so weird. I'm new to this watching something not suitable with your child thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm still aware of what it's like to watch something unsuitable with my parents, but now suddenly I'm the parent.
I know.
It's
so
weird.
Do you know what? I had EastEnders on not so long ago thinking, oh, this will be fine. You know, my 9-year-old bonus son was in the room at the time and he's on a switch. So I'm like, he's not listening. He's absolutely listening. And he asks questions about everything. And I just don't think that the soaps are the same as they were when I was in the house when my parents were watching them. At 9 years of age. Because now it's all, they're all very open and they talk about everything. And then there's questions come and I'm like, your dad will be back in 10 minutes.
I know, but the stuff that we would have got thrown out of the room for, like back in the day, was so innocent, like you say, compared to now. And the stuff they're talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, a 1980s mother now would just, her head would spin off her shoulders because of the stuff. Like, you know, if you saw a little bit of shoulder in Dallas, suddenly, here, take that out to the kitchen. That's what my mother used to do. She would just grab something near her. So it could be like a packet of fig rolls, a napkin, I don't know, an orange, a magazine, a bit of newspaper, whatever. She was just like, you know, Jonathan Hart would lean in to kiss Jennifer Hart. And then suddenly, take that out to the kitchen now. You'd be watching this rubbish.
And would you just not come back?
You're like, you'd bring it into the tea towel into the kitchen and like put it down and go, now what? How long do I have to stay out here for? Then you sort of slither back in and watch from behind the couch. Ooh, they're touching! Through clothes. It's so risqué. Anyway, what were your parents like? Or do you find yourself like me in that position of, oh my God, I'm now the awkward parent when something saucy comes on TV? Time now to catch up with the brilliant Jennifer Hudson. There's a brand new film hitting your cinemas on Friday. It's called Respect. It's about the life of Aretha Franklin. I absolutely love the movie. I have to say, I didn't know a huge amount. Obviously, when you hear the big tunes, you know, R-E-S-P-E-C-T and all that, and you think, oh yeah, I know that one. But I really didn't know much about her life, about her relationships, and like, yeah, you know, so many women of her era, in particular black women, the things that she had to overcome in terms of domestic abuse and domestic violence and, you know, prejudice in the music industry and all those kinds of things, you really go, wow, what a lady. So we caught up with Jennifer Hudson, myself and Dave, of course, an Oscar winner, a BAFTA winner, a Golden Globe winner, a Grammy winner, an incredible actress, incredible voice. And we were so happy to talk to her. And you would have heard there a few moments ago that Aretha herself, her only wish with the movie was that Jennifer Hudson would play Aretha in the film, which really you can't get a bigger compliment than that. So here is Jennifer Hudson talking to Dermot and Dave on Today FM.
Hello.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you?
Great, thanks. Thanks for talking to us and congratulations on an absolutely incredible film, an incredible performance.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
When you think of your audition, your Aretha Franklin audition for American Idol, and then you fast forward, I mean, I know that Oprah has spoken a lot of the time about destiny playing a large role, and in particular her appearance on the screen. It must have played a part in yours.
Yes, it blows my mind, because how would anybody ever know? Like, and I always have this saying that when I say nothing is just, like, so when I think back to the audition for American Idol, when I said, I'm going to sing Share Your Love With Me by Aretha Franklin, who would have ever thought 15 years later that I would be playing Aretha Franklin? Even I'm sitting here like, wait, what?
But you're not only playing Aretha Franklin, you're playing Aretha Franklin because Aretha Franklin asked you to play her.
And then that part. What?
Just that little bit.
So how much of you, Jennifer, is singing? How much of it is Jennifer Hudson? How much of it is your take on how Aretha sang?
Okay, well, it could only be my interpretation of it, but it's kind of a blend of the two. So as far as I'm concerned, for me, Jennifer, it's like, well, Aretha has always been one of my musical icons, you know what I mean? An example. So it's like, okay, we'll allow that influence that she's had on me to come through in this. But at the same time, when it comes to, wait a minute, you're not Jennifer right now, you're playing Aretha. So it's like, well, pulling from her signatures, her how she approached notes or tags and licks that we are familiar with that comes from her, or using her technique. Aretha sang from the top of her head. Apparently, I sing from my feet, according to the dialect coach. And so approaching it a way how she would hit a note versus how I would hit a note. But the ultimate challenge was, because I'm a fan and I've sang her songs many times, such as on American Idol, and I know them very well. Well, when I'm playing her, I have to approach it in the way she did in those moments, like Ain't No Way, for example. She didn't know the song in the scene. So now I can't sing the song like Jennifer knows it to be. I have to approach it in a way where I'm learning it like she was learning it in the scene we're recreating. So that got tricky in a way.
And didn't you also have to learn how to walk like?
See, that's a, I guess, a little acting trait. Like, I love to people watch. I love characters and things like that. And with somebody like Aretha, she didn't speak much. She didn't have grand gestures that would be able to be able to tell, like, oh, such and such moves this that way. So it was like finding those little hints of her characteristic traits that was her own that we would be familiar to. So her walk was one of those things, or how she would smile or speak with her eyes and little expressions versus being verbal. I'm a very verbal person, you know what I mean? So like, okay, ooh, how do I channel this without having being able to use words or a lot of body language? Because women didn't have the same space back then as we do today. So considering all of those things.
Dave, there's hope for you. James Hetfield from Metallica could eventually ask you to play him in the movie.
Except I'm nearly as old as James Hetfield is now, so that's not going to work.
That is what's going to happen.
Jennifer Hudson, you are absolutely amazing. Thank you for the film, your amazing performance. We can't wait for people in Ireland to see it. Thank you for chatting to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care.
With restrictions due to lift from October 22nd, there are a lot of relieved couples going ahead with their planned weddings. But can we hug the bride and groom? Where do masks come in? And where do we stand with Rock the Boat on the Dance Floor? Selena Murphy, wedding expert, editor of One Fab Day at DMG Media and co-host of the One Fab Day podcast, has everything we need to know about the do's and don'ts of a post-restriction wedding, as they're calling it now. How are you, Selena?
I'm very well. How are you?
Before we get into the weddings, have you watched Drive to Survive?
I have heard it in the background as my partner has been obsessively watching it.
So, oh yeah?
That's where my anecdote ends. I'm afraid I know nothing about it. I know I can name some of the dudes.
Oh
that's
yeah?
About it. Sometimes I'll waltz into the room and he'll be like, oh, this guy is now feuding with this guy. It's basically the Kardashians for Formula One, is it? Or
yeah, with a wide selection of tires okay, instead great. Of jewellery.
Perfect.
Name one of the dudes.
Jensen Button. Is he on it?
Yeah, Jensen Button. Well, he would be a pundit these days. He's a former British world champ.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah.
That's the limit of my knowledge.
That's enough. I'm impressed. but look, it's a weird time at weddings because we're not quite sure whether like we just forget about it or should COVID still be that guest who's there at the wedding with us, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, I would say the latter. I think if we kind of on October 22nd suddenly pretend like it's October 22nd, 2019 and there COVID has never been a concern, I think that will be a bit alarming for guests and maybe couples, because I think even if we did wave a magic wand and COVID wasn't there anymore, it's still probably for a lot of guests the first time they've been at a large gathering for 2 years. There's still going to be awkwardness. And when you bring the fact in that there is still a transmission risk, as the government have kind of said, even with all wedding restrictions lifted, people are going to be anxious and they're going to be wondering, God, what am I supposed to be doing here? Am I supposed to be wearing a mask?
Well, it's a cross-section of society, isn't it? You've got young, you've got old, you've got people who are totally cool with the new way of living. You've people who are anxious and actually reluctantly left the house on that very morning. You know, so you've got to have a mixture of attitudes towards the whole thing. So how do you get around that if you're having a wedding and sort of let everybody feel comfortable and not under pressure to do things that maybe they don't want to do?
Yeah, I would say a big thing is to acknowledge that the pandemic is still happening. So you can do that in a really subtle way, like on your invitation, even to say something like, thanks for bearing with us in strange times. Or on the day you could have a sign that says something cute and funny, like we've waited 525 days for our wedding, please party accordingly. Just like a light reference to it, just to make people feel like we haven't forgotten that it's going on.
A basket of masks and...
Yeah, exactly. So from October 22nd, you're not required to wear a mask at a private indoor event. But I think the couple are well within their rights to kind of put a line in the invitation saying masks are encouraged but not required if they think that would make their guests more comfortable. You could certainly set up a station. You know, we all used to have the bathroom baskets where you'd put like band-aids and hairspray and stuff in the bathroom. So you could do something similar with, you know, little bottles of hand sanitizer and masks. And again, it maybe isn't necessarily required and a lot of people might not use it, but it's more to show your guests, we've thought about this. We haven't completely forgotten that COVID is consideration.
Yeah, because there may be always people who are thinking, you know, I'm more comfortable with a mask and I'm not comfortable being mashed up against people, but I don't want to be that guy or that woman, you know, who suddenly goes, I'm not comfortable with this. What about photos? Because traditionally, you know, it's everyone move in, squish in together now, you know, get the uncles in there at the end. So how do you navigate that if some people don't want to be squished up against anybody?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we would say to the couple, talk to your photographer and your photographer will have great ideas for, because they're used to managing people anyway, and they will probably suggest to do any group photos outside, which usually would happen anyway. And yeah, like I think it is really about being prepared if you're the guest or if you're the couple. The same with the dance floor. I mean, I think it's a good idea for couples to have a chat with their venue ahead of the wedding and see, is there an alternative space to the dance floor for guests who maybe don't want to get up and do participate in Rock the Boat? But they
Can we just have them all the time?
Can we just change the rules of dance floors forever?
Yeah.
But if they had another separate room or an outdoor space, even better, just so people wouldn't feel the pressure to get involved in things like group photos and the areas, the parts of the wedding, like the dance floor and the group photos, where people do tend to be kind of smushed up against one another. Things like, I think, the ceremony space, the venue will want to have people spaced out if possible, you know, all of that will probably be a bit easier.
What about hugging? Like, what's the deal there generally? Like, obviously, if you arrive at a wedding, you put your arms around
the person.
If you arrive at a wedding, you're probably going to see people that you haven't seen in a long time. And the natural urge is to hug them are at least shake their hand. And then we get into that awkward thing of one person goes to shake, the other person does a COVID fist bump. So then you get that clasping effect, which is never good.
Horrific.
And, you know, what about the bride and groom who traditionally stand outside the door of the church and the entire congregation get in nice and tight and hug and kiss them on the way out? So what happens there now?
Yeah, we have seen couples actually during COVID do the receiving line and do the elbow or the fist bump. I would say if you're at all concerned about it, or if you're having a big guest list, you're having more than 100 people, there probably are going to be people on the list who are a bit uncomfortable. It's no harm to ditch the receiving line if you're a bit iffy about it, and to try and organise something else for that moment when you might be expecting the receiving line, which is outside after the ceremony, outside the church or ceremony space. You could do, like I've seen people have, maybe split up the speeches, have a couple of speeches there in that moment, or have a little toast. You
outside
could have,
the church?
Yeah, really? Yeah. Well, we, during COVID, we saw all kinds of mad, amazing things. Like people had their first dance outside the church with no music, you know, because it wasn't allowed. So I think people are more open to, you know, alternative ideas these days. You could even have something like a cute little ice cream van or a coffee van outside the church. That would kind of stop people expecting to kind of congregate around the couple.
Yeah, because it's always that awkwardness of, you know, it's always awkward for the bride and groom anyway, because they don't particularly want to hug,
you know,
200 people in a row.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're say three people away or two people away from getting your hug with the bride and groom, and you're trying to just act normal, you know, that I'm not waiting patient. I'm just standing here. I just happen to be, is it just me?
Yeah, no, it's too late to start a conversation with the person beside you, because then you'll have to interrupt that to do the hug. But it's too early to get your arms reaching out.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because you find if you approach them with your arms extended, you know, from 10 people back, people tend to get a bit nervous.
I think you're a bit odd.
Okay, so in terms of like music and dancing, and all, that's just going to go back to normal now. Maybe you'll have an alternative space, as you said, but the band is back.
The band is back and dancing is allowed. But the government have said, you know, bear in mind that there is a risk of transmission. So they haven't been very helpful in like, how do we have a safe wedding dance floor? Because of course we're all going to click back into pre-COVID mode where like it was just a big sweaty heaving mass of bodies on a dance floor. So it's kind of up to the individual, I think, to decide how to navigate that. And yeah, like I said, if you have a space where, you know, people can go and enjoy a drink or a little chat or a mingle or outside, you could arrange something else while the live band is going on as well, like something, you know, anything, a magician or caricature or even something like the photo booth or a guest book or something. Give people an excuse to maybe not be on the dance floor all night, or take a break if they're feeling like a little bit intimidated by the idea of suddenly being back in the club, as it were.
Do you think that people will continue just to have smaller weddings now because they don't feel, well, they don't feel under pressure to do a lot of things? You mentioned there people are breaking from tradition, and I think people feel under pressure to follow a format to the wedding day, which always struck me as quite a boring, a lot of weddings are just boring because large gaps of time where nothing really happens. If you're not drinking, it seems even longer because there's actually nothing to do except stand around and drink. So, you know, maybe it will force us to look at the wedding day itself and maybe borrow some things from, you know, that people on the continent do, or, as you said, you know, just different traditions at different times, so that actually it's not so formatted.
Yeah, I think a lot of what we do at One Fab Day is just remind people like, oh, you don't have to do that. You know, people are kind of like, but if we didn't have a bouquet toss, you know, the world would explode. And we're like, no, you don't have to do anything. It's a party you design yourself.
Yeah.
It can have anything within, well, the rules of COVID previously, but within the rules of your suppliers or your venue or whatever, you can pretty much do whatever you want. So I think weddings, yeah, we will probably see more smaller weddings. We had loads of lovely smaller weddings in the run-up to COVID, but I think the amount of them that now we've been showing on the website will kind of, it'll probably go into people's psyche a bit more and they'll start to understand. And people have attended a small wedding as well. I think for a lot of couples, they feel like they can look at pictures from a wedding on a website and see, oh, they're doing something unusual and alternative. But unless they've attended a small wedding, they kind of don't know. I can't figure out how that would work.
Yeah.
So the fact that a lot of people have attended small weddings over the last year, and, you know, even if it wasn't them, it was their friend, and they report back, oh, it was lovely, it was really nice and intimate, it was like a dinner party. I think that will kind of give couples permission to do something a bit
and
different.
Think about it. What are the weddings as a guest that you remember? You remember the ones where there was something different?
Yeah,
either there
totally
was the size or the format or the location or, you know, just something quirky that you wouldn't normally see. They're the ones that tend to stick out in your mind.
Absolutely. My friends had a murder mystery event on the day two of their wedding, and I will never forget it. It was the best crack ever. Like, and again, it's unusual, so that's why it sticks out in my mind.
Where can people go if they want to see One Fab Day and all the fab things that you have there?
Yes, so if you're in the early stages of planning and you're looking for a venue, we have a venue guide that's in shops at the moment. It's a guide to the best wedding venues in Ireland, and that's in selected newsagents. And for anything else to do with wedding planning, COVID or otherwise, you can visit us on onefabday.com.
And the podcast as well?
The podcast is there as well. You can find it on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And we're also at OneFabDay on all the social channels.
Selena Murphy, editor of OneFabDay at DMG Media. Thanks for jumping in to studio today to
say
hello.
Thank you so much.
We won't hug just for now, but we'll fist bump.
I'll be back in October for my hug.
Okay, great. We were talking about the do's and don'ts of weddings in post-restriction weddings, because you're not meant to, you just don't know who, is it okay to hug?
Yeah.
Is it okay to get sweaty on the dance floor? Are you meant to be wearing a mask in the church or not, or what?
For a lot of people, it's strange because they've spent the last 18 months in their house. So they haven't even been back to the office to kind of see the lie of the land, or they haven't gone to anything official.
Yeah.
So it's very daunting.
I know your attitude towards COVID, because you seem to be sanitizing your entire workspace right now. Even though
sorry, it's protocol.
You're the only person who sits there. Just how filthy do you think you are?
Just in case I caught it between here and the bathroom and back again.
Era is on the line. Hello, Era.
Hi, how are you getting on?
Great, thanks. Dermot here. What part of the country are you in today?
I'm in Sligo.
Sligo, lovely. You got married. How did it go? Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it went well.
When did it happen?
13th of August, so just almost a month ago.
Perfect. How was the weather?
We got a nice day. We kind of got married in between the rain days.
Good for you. Nice planning.
Yeah, it worked out well.
Yeah, you must have been on to Carlo Weather there to make sure it all worked out.
How many people did you have?
We found out about a week beforehand we were allowed 100, so we ended up with about 87 adults and 6 kids, I think it was.
It's like bonus, isn't it? Because were you prepared for the 50, was it?
We were, well, he was prepared for the 50, I was hoping for the 100, so it worked out. It worked out well.
You got all the extra bonus people then.
Exactly, that's it.
And 37 extra presents. And that's not,
there you go.
That's not, missed that fact. So listen, how did people act, and what way were you approaching the day as the bride and groom?
We were kind of worried in the lead up because, you know, we weren't allowed a band, we weren't allowed dancing, we weren't allowed anything. So we were kind of worried about if people were going to be bored, if they'd enjoy the day or not. But they did. I think everyone it went better than we thought, and I think everyone had a brilliant day. So we were kind of more worried about the guests than anything else.
Yeah. Without the music, what happens? You know, for some people are like, well, with no music, what are we going to do? What happened after the dinner?
So after the dinner, we had a Spotify playlist done up, so we always had music on in the background, and we did a DIY photo booth. And we had a donut stand, and we did little drinks vouchers for the guests as well. So,
God, can I come to your next wedding?
Of course you can.
It's not going to work out.
It's not going to work out at all.
That's good. So did everybody hug you?
After the ceremony, we went for what the guests were doing. So we didn't go in for a hug or anything. We kind of waited for to see what the guests would do, and everyone else seemed to follow. So people gave us hugs and they shook hands with us. Now, we knew all our guests were vaccinated.
Okay. Well, that makes a big difference. You feel a bit more comfortable then, don't you?
Yeah.
You could have had just some guy standing there with some kind of spray. So after every hug, they could just hose you down. well, look, that's fantastic. Who was the lucky man, Era?
Barry Sullivan. I think he's actually listening in at work.
Come on, Barry. Fair play to you. Well, look, congratulations to you both. I'm delighted you got to have your big day, and it sounds like it was a great success. So well done.
It was. Thanks.
All right. See you, Era.
Okay. Thanks, William. Bye-bye.
Bye. Siobhan McDonald is in Meath. Hello, Siobhan.
Hiya. How are you?
Good, thanks. It's Dermot here. We were talking about weddings earlier on because it's kind of that weird in-between stage, post-restriction, they're calling it. And we don't know whether to hug people or do rock the boat or sweat on the dance floor or keep our hands to ourselves. Always a good idea,
do
I suppose.
All of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was your wedding like?
Oh, it was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Congratulations, first of all. When did it all happen?
Thank you very much. It actually happened last November.
Okay, so strict lockdown, but last November.
Very, very strict. Literally, the Sunday before was when We had to wait for the announcement to see whether it could go ahead or not, literally 2 days before. So we had it all planned. And we were just cooking in the kitchen. And I was like, make the announcement.
Make the announcement now.
So you decided, very, very stressful.
Let's just do this. Let's get married. It's going to be way smaller than we had anticipated. So how many people were there and where did you have it?
There was 11 of us all together, and that included myself and my husband. So it was really just parents, my brother and his wife, my two nephews, and then we had two friends as well. So it was tiny. Is that 11? I can't remember how much.
Yeah, well, we're all too lazy to do the math. So yes, yeah. 11. But that, so it was in the Shelburne. And did that in any way allow you to kind of splash out on things that maybe you normally wouldn't have if you had a big gang?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they were very good with us as well, because they have their traditional wedding packages with, you know, the minimum numbers, say, of about 50 and then 100 and things like that. But they knew, you know, restrictions won't allow us to have that. But they gave us the whole wedding package, even though we only had, obviously a small number. And it was just, we were able to hire the Constitution Suite, which is famous for where Michael Collins signed the Constitution. So obviously that was very special. My husband got to sit in Michael Collins's chair, so he was in his element. He's a historian, so he was loving that.
Oh wow, that's really special. That would be like me as an archaeologist getting married like in the chamber at Newgrange.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think you've been 11 people in there. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, they gave us like the red carpet entrance. You know, all the staff come out and clap when you come in and think, oh, I can get used to this. and they gave us like the bridal suite with bottles of champagne. And it was just like a wedding, but, you know, it was great. We had the run of the place as well because there was nobody there. So we were able to run up and down the stairs and
down the corridors in your bare feet.
I have that plan for my wedding.
Yeah. Absolutely, it was fab. At the end of the night, myself and my husband were just taking pictures, you know, pointing at all the posh paintings and things. Maybe they don't know this, actually. I should keep watch.
I think everybody could see those pictures in their head right now. You guys pointing at some serious-faced Victorian. That's so cool, Siobhan. Like, be honest now, just between you and me, like, were you kind of glad that there were certain people not there?
Yeah, you know what? It took away an awful lot of politics because, like, I couldn't have any bridesmaids. My husband chose not to have any, because I couldn't have bridesmaids, he chose not to then have a best man either. And so there was just no fussing and faffing, and people completely understood, people maybe that were expected to be able to come or that would have been invited, just to like completely understand that it's just not possible. And you think, that's fine, saving me money.
And what about the honeymoon? I'm sure that didn't happen because you couldn't go anywhere, but did you manage to get away anywhere?
Well, no, we haven't yet. We've actually booked it just last week. We're going to go to Athens at the beginning of October, so just a couple of weeks. So we've had to wait a whole year to do it.
Oh, sure. A historian's dream over there. He'll be sitting in everyone's chair. That's fantastic, Siobhan. Sounds great. And I love that because it was obviously a different wedding. It was something you hadn't anticipated, but it sounds like it was really special. And actually, you're going to really remember all the little details that maybe you would have forgotten when you're worried about 200 guests somewhere else.
Yeah. And you don't have to worry then about circulating the room and is everyone having a good time? Because you can see everyone. We are having a good time. So
Are you having a good time? Yes. Job done. All right.
I am.
Yeah, lovely to talk to you, Siobhan. And that's the most important bloody thing, that the bride and groom have a good time. You know, sometimes that's forgotten.
Yeah.
Lovely to talk to you, Siobhan. In Meath, thanks, congratulations on the football win as well.
Absolutely, yes. Very happy this weekend. Very noisy up here at the weekend.
Yeah, rightly so. Up Meath.
Yeah.
Bye, Siobhan.
Fantastic. Thanks. All the best.
Bye. Every Tuesday at around about this time, we talk to comedian Bernard O'Shea. He has a book called Manopause. You'll find him in the irishexaminer.com every week, and he's on the line. How are you, Bernard?
Good morning, Dermot.
What's happening?
Good morning. Well, I wanted to vent today. Vent manager. That's what I'm doing on you. You're going to manage my vents.
Oh, great.
Since lockdown has eased and since we're vaccinated, I've had people back in my car again. That beautiful, beautiful feeling of, oh, I'll pick you up. Sure, I'm not drinking and I'll bring you. And then very quickly realised there was some benefit to lockdown.
Yeah, that's the downside to being the designated driver.
It is, but more of the downside is when somebody gets into your car, I forgot this, I literally erased this out of my brain. Some people get into your car and they turn the radio station to a different station.
It's oh, like, yeah.
Sorry, hello. Sorry, what? Sorry. And they're going, and, or they go, shh, just a second, sorry. I just want to get the news. It's like, sorry, this is my car.
I might be one of those people, Bernard. If I sit into someone's car in the passenger seat and they haven't got their audio settings right, like if it's all treble and no bass, I'll have to go in there and start to change it and add some balance because I can't cope with it.
Oh, sorry, superstar DJ. But like, it's basically some, no matter how much you pay for your stereo in your car, it's coming out through tin plates in the side of the road. You're not going to make a massive difference. Like, so, or this thing. Some people, and this goes for people in houses, right? Some people don't realize they are doing this, right? And if there's somebody in your life, and you, if you think there isn't anybody in your life that's doing this, then you're this person. Some people will get into your car and just start opening the glove box and just rooting around in it. Or do you know the little compartment that's beside it? Just open it up and start going, sorry, are you a detective or something? Are you looking for, what? Why are you snooping around my car? People do it. I have one friend and he doesn't realize he's doing this, right? He was being told by other friends of ours that he does this and he gets very defensive about it. He'd walk into your house and just start opening drawers.
Look, your house is different, but I think the glove box is open to all. I think,
no, it's not. How? How in God's name is the glove box open to everyone?
Because it's right in front of your passenger. It's screaming, this is for your convenience. Open it up. Open me up and have a look. I mean, what could be in there anyway? Some tissues, the manual for the car, an old NCT cert. Like, what are you hiding in there, Bernard?
It could be like a little voodoo doll with your head on it. And you could be like, but why would you want to look? Like, I don't understand. Somebody got, this happened last week. I was going, what's in there that you want? Oh, I just want to look in your glove box. Why? There's nothing. There isn't even gloves in my glove box. Stop snooping around my house.
I think you've got like, it's like one of those, you know, detectives who's been on the job too long. In your glove box, there's a handgun and some Valium. That's what's in yours.
But this is what reminded me again of going, oh God, this is why I hate having passengers. Oh shit, what's a, you're very close there. No, I wasn't very close there. I've been driving for 20 years. I know where the side of the road is. Or it's like, what? Oh God, you were very close. Jesus Christ. Sorry, do you want to drive the car? It's like, it was like, oh my God, I forgot this person was so, or this thing. Oh, we'll park there. It's like, no, I'll go into the car park. Oh, don't go into the car park. There's a spot right outside. Just wait outside. Park there. It's like, sorry, my car does not fit in a 4-inch space just because you don't want. There's people that will just refuse to walk to where they're going if they're in a car.
Yeah, but so, Bernard, I think it's on the other side of the coin. There are people who are just too protective, too bossy about their own little confines, their own little kingdom on wheels. For instance, if I sit into the car with Dave, he won't let me open a window. If I open a window, he treats me like a child. He'll close it again from his side. And then he says, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm opening the window. The car's roasting. Let the air conditioning do its job. It yes. isn't doing its job. That's why I need to open the window. I want to feel some air, not this recycled breath we've had for the last 20 minutes.
Sorry, Dermot, 1 second. Ah! He's right. If you open the window, the air conditioning cannot do its job.
But it's not doing its job, and I want the feeling of wind in my face. I want the feeling of the air changing, a changing of the guard.
Well, reincarnate yourself as a dash hound then, right? Because, because if you open the window, oh my God, Dave, me and Dave should just get a room. If you open the window in a car, then the air conditioning right, is cannot air condition the car's air that's already in the car, because it's trying to compete with air coming in as well. So you close the windows and you let the air conditioning. That's why people pay a fortune. I bet you have auto air conditioning. So you set it to a temperature and go, just wait 3-4 minutes and the car will be a nice constant temperature. But oh no, in comes Dermot, but stick his head out the window like a dog. Ace Ventura here beside me.
I'm aware Dave isn't here to defend himself, but these things are all true. The other thing he does is that he won't let me, because when I reach over to adjust the volume on the radio, because, you know, we're trying to have a conversation or there's a terrible song or whatever, he won't let me adjust the button because the little symbol on the button has to be pointing vertically all the time, which means that he has to change the volume from his steering wheel. So I have to request, can you please turn that down a little bit? Because if I knock any of the dash buttons out of alignment, he freaks out.
I'm not that bad. But in terms of people turning it up and down on the good part, or in terms of somebody saying to you, like, I thought this finished would stop when you were 12 or 13. Someone gets in your car and goes, oh, you have to listen to this. And nobody else in the car wants to listen to it. And other people start talking over it. And then all of a sudden that person gets sick. It's like, we're not 12. Stop doing this. But this is the one thing that I do that my wife just cannot cope with, right?
Mm.
My wife puts a lot of stuff on the passenger seat, right? So I'll say, look, I'll drive. And she goes, no, I'll drive. I don't mind, right? So we had 3 kids back. But then I get in and all the stuff is in the passenger seat and saying, come on, are you waiting? Are you getting in? It's like, well, do I sit on your makeup bag? Do I sit in your glasses? Do I sit in your handbag? Do I sit like, and then if I take it off and put it on the floor, don't put my stuff on the floor. It's like, yeah, now I want to be reincarnated as a dog so you can throw me in the boot. Because that's it. So where do I go? So when I put stuff on the passenger seat, right, then a friend of mine, the same friend, I had a water bottle, right, and a set of sunglasses, right? Mm. Now, when you open a car door, you see a set of sunglasses and a water bottle. They were in the middle. They weren't at the end. He sat on them and broke them.
Oh, my God. Bernard, I know we've disagreed on a lot in this conversation, but I'm on your team. There are a group of people who I have called the sitter-inners. And the sitter-inners open the door and sit right. My wife is one of these, but she's a sitter-inner. And literally, you could have a puppy, like, you know, new Ray-Bans, a sculpture you had just made out of lollipop sticks that was worth £1 million. They just open the door, sit straight down. Like, their arse is more important than whatever is on the seat.
Do these people not? Do these people? I want to aggregate from this conversation. What I want to know is, do they not see it on the seat, or did they just see it and go, "I don't care"?
I think they don't care. It's a mixture of both. They don't want to see it, Bernard. That the sitter-inners, they don't want to see it. But then again, you know, it's acceptable that you had like a bottle of water and a pair of sunglasses. You know, even we could stretch to maybe an apple on there too. That's fine. But do you ever know the people who use the passenger seat as a life desk? And basically they have like, you know, they offer you a lift, but you look down, there's like bank statements for the last 7 years, mortgage applications, birth certs, you know, bowls of cereal from 5 weeks. Every part of their life is on that front seat.
Have you ever refused, now you don't have to answer this, it's not a court of law, but have you ever refused a lift from someone because their car is so dirty?
I'm not sure. It would depend on the circumstances.
I didn't want to bring this up with you, right? But you know that I used to work in Athlone at one stage, and I was on Republic of Telly with you, and I was doing a lot of traveling. And I remember we were going to a gig once and you nearly didn't take a lift off me because you felt my car was not clean enough.
I did.
Yes. And I remember, right, because I had food. I used to get food in a petrol station in that moment. I was in a massive hurry. I used to put it on the side, and then like, and then I had a few bank statements, and I had a few bits and pieces. But I do remember you got in, and you got a little bit. You were really annoyed because you sat on something and dirtied the buttocks of your trousers, and you just had to hold it in for so long. I think we were going to Portlaoise, and you were. I could just see you were so annoyed, and I wanted to say sorry. But the more, then I got annoyed with you thinking, no, hey, listen, you weren't looking at where you were sitting.
You're suggesting I was a sitter-inner.
You're a sitter-inner, Whelan. Don't be giving out a yes, you are a sitter-inner.
Well, you're a life seater. You've all your life on that seat.
Well, I prefer to be a life seater than a sitter-inner any day.
Thank you, Bernard.
See you. Bye, bye, bye,
bye. Dave is meant to be on his holidays, but as always, he's listening in, checking up on me, making sure everything's going okay, making sure I'm not pressing the wrong buttons. I can't press the wrong buttons because they don't trust me with any. That's why Claire is here helping me out this week while Dave is off. We were talking about driving, and I outed Dave as a fussy driver who won't let you touch anything in the car, and he's got like OCD about all his buttons, and they have to be pointing in the right direction, and the symbols can't be misaligned. He's been on the WhatsApp.
Hey, Dermot, while you're listing your motoring passenger crimes, how about this one? You failed to mention this one. Hey, Dave, can you drive me to that place we're going, you know, from Dublin to Cork? Yeah, sure, Dermot, no problem. Let's go. Road trip. Nice. Get in the car. Open and close the window, not get the air circulating the right way, turn the volume up and down. Now the power symbol doesn't mean the power symbol anymore. It's something completely different. Oh, let me just change the bass and loudness on your settings. And then just when I'm about to get so freaked out that I might kick you out of the car, you put your seat back, shut your eyes and go to sleep. It was supposed to be a road trip and you went to sleep.
We were on tour. I was exhausted. He's just so fussy. And plus, he's getting, hey, giving the impression of, oh, hey, I know, Dave, you're listening. You're like, oh, yeah, road trip. That doesn't happen. When you say to Dave, can I have a lift? There's a moment of, oh, Jesus. Someone just asked to share my car. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah, yeah, sure. I'd love that. All the while his eyes are saying, oh, Jesus, no, don't come into my car. I want to be by myself. Oh, can't wait till he gets back in the studio. There'll be proper fisticuffs, I'd say. In the meantime, let us do Dave's bad jokes.
Dave's World. If we don't let him do it, he gets ratty.
Okay, thank you everybody who's been submitting bad jokes all week long. Here they come. Stephen and everybody sent me this joke this week, so I think I'll do it. I was recently asked, they say, who my favourite vampire was. I said, easy, the Muppet from Sesame Street. They told me, that doesn't count. I can very much assure you he does.
Oh, wow. It's a build-up.
Always good when you can see the punchline halfway through the joke.
All of my jokes are like that. Izzy's 10. She said, what's Yoda's surname? Lehi-hoo.
Correct you are.
Tony says, I think we can cancel Halloween this year, lads. Look, I've been scared all year. I've eaten far too many sweets already. I freak out if the doorbell rings. I'm wearing a mask all the time. Straight to Christmas, please.
That's good.
Brian says a man who fell into a combine harvester while trying to steal it will appear in court. Police expect him to be bailed tomorrow. Maria, it's a farmer joke for you from the Midlands. Come on. Derek says, I just got back from Specsavers with my new glasses and I showed my wife and said, how do I look? And she said, through the glass bits, you idiot.
I like that.
By the way, can we just remind everyone that Maria wore a pair of leopard skin pumps into the middle of the bog?
Excuse me, they were sky blue.
They were sky blue, yeah.
And brown by the time I left.
You have a long way to go before you become a fully fledged farmer.
Stephen says, I had a priest perform an exorcism for my house, but I never paid the bill. It's since been repossessed.
Repossessed, lads.
Oh, we get it. Sharon says, a man reading a thesaurus saunters into a tavern.
The door bar saunters into a tavern.
But he's not reading the thesaurus either.
Oh, so good. Maria, you're going to like this one. And you, Emer. Naomi says, if two vegans have an argument, is it still called beef or is it a corn-frontation?
I like it.
Claire says, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around to hear it, then my illegal logging business is a success. Dell says, a shop assistant fought off an armed robber with his labeling gun. Police are now looking for a man with a price on his head.
Must do better.
Maggie says, my son asked me, where does poo come from? I was a little uncomfortable, but I gave him an honest explanation. He looked a little perplexed and stared at me in stunned silence for a few seconds and then said, and what about Tigger?
Weddings and marriage is kind of in the air at the moment because there's a lot of stuff got the go ahead, and you know, wedding bands and that stuff is back, and yeah. DJs and people can invite more people to the wedding, and so many people have put everything on hold for the last couple of years, so it's kind of in the air at the moment for many reasons. And yesterday we heard about the do's and don'ts if you're attending a wedding,
yeah,
a post-restriction wedding, and that's a bit of a minefield, but obviously in here in this studio you'll excuse us for talking about weddings a little bit more than usual maybe, because our Maria, our producer, is getting married, yeah, in October.
Yeah, and I haven't stopped going on about it to you. In fact, my wedding shoes arrived yesterday and I sent you all a picture.
She put it in the show WhatsApp group.
My God. They're phenomenal.
You have to describe them now. Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah. I didn't show Johnny. I think it's just the dress, isn't it, that he's not allowed to see?
Don't show Johnny.
They're barely there, which is like, do you know what barely there shoes are?
No, but it sounds great.
Just a strap around the ankle, strap over your toes.
Oh, okay.
That's it. But then on the back, and they're like a kind of a dusky pink colour, then on the back there's a massive big embellishment, like a big jewel encrusted detail on the back. But they're so amazing.
They're the kind of shoes that you would never buy yourself.
No.
Unless you're Jennifer Lopez.
No, because you feel like you'd have notions.
Yeah.
Who do I think I am buying myself shoes like that?
Oh, they're amazing. In fact, I loved Emer's comment was just like, dead, deceased. She was so bowled over.
Yeah.
That made me laugh last night. So part of the wedding,
yeah,
is doing a marriage course. Now, I never did a marriage course.
Did you
not? There's probably a lot of people here who are listening who did the marriage course either and probably don't even remember a whole lot of it.
Yeah.
And are maybe curious about what's on a marriage course now and how does it work? Is it any different?
So usually you would do a marriage course by going to, I don't know if you go to the church, do you go to a community centre, do you go with other people? And it's run by the priest or a deacon or, you know, whoever's in charge of it in your particular parish.
Yes, people who will never be married in their lives giving the marriage course. Perfect. Got it.
Some would say they have the outside perspective, Dermot. You know.
Some.
So because of the pandemic, we weren't able to go and book into a marriage course. There's big places that do it. Like, I think there's a place in Tala that do it over the course of 3 days, and you know, if you've kids you have to get the kids minded, and it's all a big hassle, and but you have to do it if you want to get married in a church. However, the pandemic put a stop to all of that because you couldn't have that many people in, you know, one room at the same time, so we did it online, which I didn't know was a thing.
Okay,
until
so you,
pandemic.
You registered, then you get this. Is it videos and worksheets,
yeah,
and stuff
so
like that?
What you do is you log on, you pay for it. And then they go, now you're in. Do it whenever you want. So you download these workbooks, one for me, one for him. And then they give you these three episodes, they call it. So they're like 40 minutes or an hour long.
Maria, you must have loved this. It's like watching your stories.
Except it's about me. You have to watch three episodes and, you know, pause them at certain points and go to your workbook and fill out these different sections in
it.
Come on,
give us some of the juice. What kind of questions were you being asked? What kind of answers were you given?
Well, there was a Mr. and Mrs. quiz, right?
Oh, great.
At the start of it. So I'd answer questions about him, he answered them about me. One of the first questions in it was, what does commitment mean to you? And Johnny's answer was, Andrew Strong. For anyone that doesn't know, he's the lead guy in The Commitments. So that's how seriously he was taking it.
He was not taking it seriously at all.
No. There's a whole section about planning the wedding, which obviously we've already done, but you have to watch it because it's part of the course. And then there's a conflict section, which Johnny was like, oh, this, you know, it was a hot and air. It was a bit awkward, isn't it? So they went into like, pause your video and then go to your workbook and answer the questions about each other. So
I like the way they use the word conflict, which is usually associated with military zones. Like,
well,
is this a reflection on your house?
We've had our arguments, you know. So some of the questions were like, who is most likely to walk out of the room during an argument? Who's more likely to be sarcastic? Who would be more likely to cry during an argument? Obviously, Johnny. Not Johnny, me. And, you know, questions like that. But what they gave us was a good technique that I didn't know existed that might just diffuse all arguments ever. Mm. So apparently, if you pretend to smile when you're feeling angry, your body just sees that you're smiling and goes, oh, quick, release the happy endorphins. We're happy. Everyone's happy. So you won't get as angry during your argument. So they said, obviously, smiling when you're angry is a very hard thing to even fake. So
especially
get a
when
pen.
You're shouting at someone.
Well, yeah.
I'm so angry at you right now. I'm smiling.
But if you get a pen and like shove it in your mouth, bite down on it, it gives your body the feeling that it's smiling and the happy endorphins will be released.
It tricks your brain. Into thinking that you're smiling.
That you're smiling and the argument won't be as
bad.
So
mid-argument you have to have, you know, while you're in full-on fight, flight or rip the head off the person in front of you mode, you have to go, hang on, I'm going to get a pen, I'm going to put it into my mouth, I'm going to have the rest of my argument right there. I think in any of those fights, you're probably more likely to take the pen out of your mouth and shove it in the eye of the person in front of you.
Yes, well, that's very possible.
Well, give us some, who is more likely to storm out of the room?
Johnny.
Okay.
100%. Yeah. And I follow him, by the way. Even if he goes into the bathroom, I stand at the bathroom door and shout at him. We don't argue that often, but when we do, they're doozies.
It's biblical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm more likely to cry, obviously.
Who's more likely to be sarcastic?
Johnny.
Oh, so we can't say this now, can we?
He's going to kill me.
And then he turns on his heels and walks out.
The locks will be changing me, go.
The jacks.
But I found a trick, right? So this course, when you do it face to face in it, like in a community center or wherever they do them, it can take 3 days, it can take 2 days, it can take a day and a half. Some do a day special and you're like, oh, hammer it all into the one day. But you're there for a full day. This course takes 3.5 hours, it says.
Online. Much more manageable.
Yeah, sitting at home, kids are in bed, glass of wine, you know, actually properly give it your attention. However, I found a function on all of the videos that means you can watch them at double speed. Do you want to have a listen to what we were witnessing?
Couple selection time. Scientists have discovered that by gazing into our lover's eyes, we can rekindle romance. But not only that, by doing something novel or exciting or even dangerous together, we can conjure up the same feelings of passion, just like when we first met. So here's your next task. Turn to each other and look at each other for exactly 1 minute. Yes, you can blink, but no, you can't talk. We will even play some romantic music for you so that you can get into the mood.
That sounds like a national anthem. It's meant to be romantic. Yeah.
So you're supposed to be looking at each other, holding hands.
Staring into each other's eyes for a minute.
Yeah.
But obviously 30 seconds now.
30
you've,
seconds.
You shaved 30 seconds
totally
off.
Totally. Had the same impact.
Did you do it? Did you look into each other's eyes?
No, we laughed.
It's very intimidating, even with someone you live with.
Yeah.
To just hold each other's hands and stare into each other's eyes.
Yeah.
You get all these very strange feelings.
You get the giggly.
Yeah.
It's like...
But technically speaking, you may be bonded a little more than before you did the exercise. See?
Yay! What a great idea. So,
30 seconds.
So how long does your course take now?
Like under 2 hours. 2 glasses of wine.
Well, Maria, maybe we should do the same for this show. Maybe we just fucking double speed. We could do the whole thing at an hour and a half and be finished at 10:30. That's a great idea. 087-4100-102. If you've done a wedding course, Today FM. Maria, your theory or the advice you were getting from your digital marriage course about putting a pen into your mouth during an argument to trick your body into releasing endorphins to stop you ripping the other person's head off. It's just not practical according to all our listeners right now, and I kind of have to agree with them. 087-4100-102. Someone says, geez, when I see himself smiling when arguing, definitely makes me angry and I turn on him. Lads, if my husband was smiling at me in the middle of an argument, it would send me into a full on rage. I would punch my hubby in the face if he smiled during a row. Wow. You definitely want to be taken seriously. If during an argument I put a pen in my mouth and bite down, the only thing likely to be released is ink. Never mind happy endorphins, as Damien and Kevin. So people aren't really buying into that one, you know, it's not particularly practical.
There's another one that says, Andrew Strong, hashtag Johnny Legend. I did also get a message that said, your bags are packed and they're at the door.
Someone says, we did ours when Ireland were playing Wales in the Six Nations. Half the lads there had their phones on silent, watching the game under the table. However, when they kept looking down under the table to check the scores, it looked like they were all checking out the other fella's wives. The priests weren't impressed, says Kevin and Kerry.
They all failed.
Checking out the legs. 087-4100-102. We'll come back to that, your marriage course comments. We've got lots of them in just there on the text and WhatsApp. I'm going to get to them in just a few minutes. We were talking about wedding courses there. Our Maz did a digital one. We got this voice note in.
I had booked my marriage course for the first weekend in September, and it ended up being a Mayo Dublin replay of a semi-final, and I rang my priest and told him, and he was like, oh my god, go to the match, that's way more important. And he just met us and did a kind of homemade marriage course with us instead, and I just didn't go to my marriage course, and the priest said it was okay, that Mayo matches were more important.
Now that is a good priest. So I got married the day Ireland played England in the Six Nations. There was, with like 30 seconds to go to me being married, nobody in the church. They were all in the pub across the road. Josie Sheehan in Wicklow. Hello, Josie.
Hi, how are you?
Sure, look it. Isn't that it?
As my mother would say, cripes. You've won cripes. A t-shirt.
Oh my God. That's enough said. That's all I need.
That's all you need. Well, we'll give you a shot at the money as well, Josie. What's happening? What part of Wicklow are you in today?
I'm in a small village in Wicklow called Knockanana.
Knockanana.
The best spot in Wicklow, yeah.
You're not from there though, are you?
Oh, I am, yes.
You don't,
born and bred.
You don't
born
have the kind of Wicklow accent a lot of people have.
No, that's, you see, that's the Arklow part, you know.
Towards the Avoca and Arklow, yeah. That kind of one, yeah.
We're the more the posh side.
Oh, like that, is it?
Yeah.
That's it. The Arklowites are arching an eyebrow as we speak. Yes. So what's the answer? And we'll give you 500 quid as well as a t-shirt.
Courtesy is a great trait.
Courtesy is a great trait. C is a great T.
Yes.
No.
No,
well, sorry, Josie. So you got your t-shirt. It's yellow. It says Dermot and Dave says, Today FM, you'll be great style.
I'm telling you now, no one in
Afanana
will have the likes of it.
No, they won't. Lovely to talk to you, Josie.
Lovely. Thanks very much. Thank you.
Bye. Noel Nestor's in Limerick. How are you, Noel?
I'm not too bad, Dermot. Yourself?
I'm good, yeah. Are you on the road?
I'm on the road. I'm in Cork today working, so good.
Is that the kind of job you have? That you drive around places and meet people all day long?
Absolutely. Working in Copymore.
What is it called?
Copymore.
Copymore.
Yes, for all your managed print solutions.
Love it. I think you have to have a kind of one of those personalities for those jobs where you're going around meeting people and remembering everyone's name. And I would be so bad at that. Like, I'd be dropping in to the office I was in the previous day going, I can't remember any of your names.
Yeah, we get a bit of that, don't worry.
They do. What do you think? C is a great tea, Noel?
Would it be cream is a great topping?
Cream is a great topping. I was filming something yesterday where I got to mash strawberries and cream into a window. It was exceptionally satisfying. It's 50 shades of something really weird. No, cream is a great topping, but it's not the answer we're looking for, Noel. Sorry.
No worries. Thanks, Aaron.
All right, man. Bye. Mark Tobin's in Athlone. How are you, Mark?
Hi, Darman. How are things?
Good. You're spraying a kitchen?
Yeah, we're just work from Athlone Kitchen, so spend my day spraying up to two kitchens.
And do you spray them all the same colour?
No. About 12, 15 different colours.
Okay, so someone picks what colour they want and then you're the man who makes it all look lovely.
Yeah, makes it all nice and shiny, yeah.
Makes a big difference, a new kitchen. We were down in our Maria's kitchen in Edenderry there quite recently and she got her cupboards and all painted. Looks like a brand new Kardashian kitchen. Unreal.
Yes.
Yeah, fresh lick of paint makes everything look nice.
It does. It actually makes the place look bigger, doesn't it?
Yeah, especially if you go brighter colours.
If you go brighter,
What are people looking for in their kitchens now? The way everyone had to have an island before? Like, what's the in thing in kitchens these days?
It seems to be the island, but they just want them bigger.
All right,
an even bigger island,
and which means an even bigger kitchen and a bigger house.
Bigger kitchen, bigger island, bigger everything. Yeah,
yeah. In Limerick now we call it Dyland. C is a great T.
Cash is a great transaction.
Cash is a great transaction. It's not the answer we're looking for, Mark. Sorry.
No bothers.
Good luck with the spraying of the kitchens.
Thanks, guys. Love
keep
the show.
Lit, as they say. Thanks. Good luck. Bye. We were talking about Arklow there a few minutes ago. In Asher, look at isn't that it? Someone says Arklowites are arching one eyebrow. People from Arklow only have one eyebrow. How dare you? That is. What are you insinuating about Arklow? Arklowites are lovely people. I spent a lot of time around there back in the late 90s because I was working on a TV show called Ballycasangel back then. Do you remember that one? It was like, I think a lot of people associated it with being hungover because it was usually on a Sunday night. And it was kind of like one of those nice, a bit like Room to Improve. One of those sort of shows that would dissolve your fear a little bit because there was nothing too threatening in it, nothing too challenging. And it was about Assumpta, this woman in the village of Ballycasangel, and the priest, and they started up a relationship and all that.
It just gives you a little hug on a Sunday night.
Yeah, that kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I spent a lot of time, because a lot of it was shot down in and around there in Avoca. Beautiful part of the world. That Vale of Avoca, Wooden Bridge Golf Course up the road, stunning.
Was, I love Avoca actually, was Colin Farrell in it when you were working on
No, I left just before he started. That's what everyone always asks.
Of course.
Forget it, you're no good to me now.
Yeah, you can't give me any of the dirt.
No, no dirt. But it was, yeah, it was great crack, especially in Avoca. And just being away on location on any film actually was always great crack.
Yeah.
Because it'd give you per diems. Oh. You know, like a little brown envelope of cash.
It's like your pocket money.
Yeah.
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 Now, be sensible with that now. It has to last you all day.
We were not sensible. We're talking about kitchens there. Apparently, everybody wants bigger islands now. Someone says, bigger islands for kitchens. Will these be called continents?
I don't
quite
get,
possibly.
Do the people that have islands not have kitchen tables?
No, they have.
Oh, they just have bigger gaffs than I do.
The island is for, absolutely. The island is for sort of turning from your cooker and then putting it down in the thing. So it's just sort of...
Those are the bits that are ready to serve.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, you might have stools around the island so you can have a casual sandwich or something if you don't feel like...
The dining room.
Yeah, if you don't feel like so
notions.
Formal. But yeah, the islands are the thing. I don't know if you did you see I'm plugging myself here, I don't mean to, but I'm doing the voiceover for a TV show at the moment called Selling Ireland's Most Expensive Homes.
All right. No, I didn't see that.
Oh well, why weren't you watching it?
I have a lot of telly to get through.
It's on tomorrow and no, it's on tonight. What day is today? Wednesday. Yeah, it's on RT1 tonight at 10:30.
Okay.
And it's on RT2 on Mondays. But basically they're Ireland's most expensive homes at the moment. They're absolutely mongo places.
I am so into that.
Oh, like, and literally some of these islands, some of the size of these kitchens are unreal. Like indoor heated swimming pools in some of them.
Like, in Ireland?
Yeah, like some of them are big country estates and other ones are like, you know, apartments with notions basically.
I love the ones in their houses in Irish Town. Actually, it's meant to be where Colin Farrell grew up. And they look like little tiny, just little like a door in one window cottage, like all attached to each other. But then out the back, there's like an extension that's three times the size of the original house. So they can have absolute notions, but they just look like little tiny, you know, we just have a humble little house until you open the front door.
It is like that bit in Willy Wonka, do you remember when he's leading them down the little corridor, but it gets narrower and narrower, and then they're all wedged down the end with the tiny door. That's what modern architecture is like.
And then he opens it, and it's like a field.
That's massive. Anyway, yeah, some of them was like 10 million quid or something.
So that's on tonight on RT1?
Yeah, at 10:30, yeah.
And you're doing the voiceover?
Yeah, so you know the way in Room to Improve, there's a guy who you never see, and he's like, Dermot has arrived at the new property.
Oh, yeah.
All he's got to do is work out the budget.
I always wonder what they look like, those people. Now
those
I know.
Those people. Well, that guy, I'm pretty sure, is an actor called Tomás Asuluan, who I worked with years ago.
Yeah.
Because I think I recognise his voice. I think he's a director in his own right. Maybe someone can confirm that. Is he the voice of Room to Improve? Because like his voice is so synonymous with that show.
Yeah. Well, you'd want him to come in and narrate your life as you walk through the front door. Maria puts her keys down in the hall. Rian greets her with a face full of Nutella. What has happened here today?
Well, maybe someone will make it for you.
Say stuff, that soothes the music.
Say stuff, that soothes the music.
Say stuff, that soothes the music.
Right, time for some comedy now, where I play pieces of music to Dermot, and his job is to say stuff off the top of his head that he thinks suit those pieces of music.
Oh, go on then.
Here we go.
Tonight on Channel 4, we investigate how a man with a spice for a name became famous. Jerry Cinnamon. And what about the other band members who weren't so lucky? Peter Paprika. Timmy Chili Flakes. And Gary Ground Nutmeg.
And now... Swan Lake, performed by actual swans.
Oh my God, they're pecking my eyes! They're pecking my eyes!
This was a terrible idea. Oh my God, show me that ring. This is the ring of Antonok. This ring has the power of three devils and six beasts. Anyone who wears this ring can take power over all three realms. Where did you get this ring?
Oh, this ring? I got it in Accessorize. Tinker was up in Jervis.
You've heard of protein bars? Protein shakes. They're so last year. Now why not try protein eggs? We've taken real eggs, already filled with protein, and injected more protein into them. So when you open them, they punch you in the face and throw you on the floor and say, "Give me 10! Go and get protein eggs now, if you're not already too weak.
Have you heard the news? Have you heard the news? Have you heard the great things happening now? I've got a rash on my leg and it's spreading to the rest of my body. So call the doctor, I'm passing out. Oh Jesus, I'm serious, call. Yeah.
Talking about, I don't know how we ended up talking about it, but this just happens. Islands in your kitchen. And some people do not get the whole island thing. The pro-islanders have been on. Mairead is one of them. Hello, Mairead.
Hi, Dermot. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How's Wicklow today?
It is rainy but sunny.
You're an islander.
Oh, I am an islander, 100%.
A lot of the complaints levelled at islands is that there isn't enough room for your knees.
You have to have the overhang.
Okay, it's all about the overhang. You were right,
all
Maria.
All about the overhang.
Okay, so what do you use yours for?
Everything. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, cocktail nights, many of them.
Cocktail nights?
Oh, cocktail night.
Look at you, old Celtic tiger. And what kind of cocktails would you be serving up?
Oh, no, that's not me. That's my husband, Barry. He's the cocktail specialist. Everything from daiquiris to woo-woos to martinis, you name it, he'll make it.
Woo-woos?
Woo-woos,
yeah. What's in a woo-woo?
It is, peach schnapps, vodka, 7-Up, and I can't remember, there's something else.
An almighty nice. Hangover.
Most definitely.
So the woo-woo. So say you had friends over, you're cooking the dinner, and your friends are kind of sitting around the island keeping you company.
Yeah. And as you see, the sink is in the island, so your back is never to people. So as you're washing up, as you're going along, you're talking to people, you can see the room. It's great.
Oh, and does it not get messy on the old island if the sink is in the middle of it?
No, because it's big enough. Keep and the dishwasher's underneath the sink, so you just throw everything to the dishwasher up.
God, what else is your kitchen like? What else is in there? It sounds amazing.
No, it's just your normal standard kitchen, just with an island.
Go on, you must have a few gadgets or something. You sound like someone who has a bread maker or a dehydrator or something.
No, Kenwood mixer, food mixer. That's about the extent of it.
Is that it?
Yeah, Nutribullet for the cocktails. That's about it. Don't do the fancy because they all break. Too expensive to replace.
You make the cocktails in a Nutribullet. I thought that's against sort of cocktail pure.
No, you have to do the frozen fruit for the daiquiris and the Nutribullet.
Oh my God.
Actually, frozen fruit, yeah.
When's your next dinner party?
Forget dinner, we just have cocktails.
Yeah, I bet you have. Do you have one friend? You don't have to name them, but do you have one friend who won't go home?
Yes.
Every group has one.
I can also be that friend.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's me. If any of my friends listening, my nickname for years was Round the Clock Ronnie, because I would just keep going and keep going like a Duracell bunny.
Well, we had one friend who couldn't go home till the next day after the cocktail night.
Oh, because
they stayed another night.
They just couldn't get it together to get home.
Basically, yes.
I bet you they blamed your husband then for making the cocktails too strong.
100%.
Yeah. And not that you...
half 5 in the morning. Yep.
Not that they drank 12. Yeah. I remember I was at a dinner party once and same thing, you know, it was all flowing and we're all having a chat. We turned around and one of the girls who was at the table was just asleep, face down on the mat. Got her forehead on the table. Her husband just went, oh yeah, she does that, and sat there for another hour.
She's a good party guest, she says quite.
Exactly, yeah, but it's the kind of thing that happens in Ireland. You're like, oh, that was gas, you know. If you did that, mm-hmm. you know, in some, you know, in New York or someplace, they'd be like, oh my God, you have to check yourself into something to dry out. Anyway, Mairead, lovely to talk to you. Congratulations on your island. It sounds amazing. And I want an invite to your next dinner party. Everybody here in the team does, actually.
Yeah. And Dermot, by the way, those jellies do not exist. I cannot find them anywhere. I was on Instagram asking about the jellies. None of my kids know about it. My husband doesn't know about jellies and the pick and mix.
Okay, we were talking about pick and mix. Just bring people up to speed on this. Dave did a pick and mix World Cup about the best sweets in the pick and mix. And he left one out and it was the smiley face discs.
Never ever seen them.
But sure, I went to the cinema in like Coolock the other day. Took my daughter in to see Croods 2, which is absolutely hilarious. And there they were. The jellies that I was talking about were there. And
I may go to cinema. I go to Arklow and they weren't there. I may have a look again and see.
And you know they give you a cup now to fill up with jellies. That's the hygienic way of doing it. So they have the shovels behind the counter. So you get a clean shovel and a cup and then you fill it up yourself. But I just filled up the cup with just those discs. That was it. So they do exist and they're goddamn delicious.
You used to be able to buy them for 5p in the shop.
5p, really?
Yeah, like definitely when I was small, you used to be able to buy them. They were expensive ones.
I've had a lot of people contact me on Instagram saying these sweets do not exist. We don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen them in the pick.
They're really chewy. I don't like
them.
They're the really chewy ones that get stuck to your teeth.
No, it's my husband's kids. No one ever seen them before.
What are you going for in the pick and mix then? What's your favourite?
Oh, white mice, pink mice.
Pink mice, yeah.
Yeah, jazzies.
Not into the jazzies.
See, your choice of pick and mix reflects the fanciness of your kitchen. It's all like jazzies, pink mice, all so elegant and shiny. Mairead, have a wonderful day. Lovely to chat to you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, there's still a lot of people who don't know about those smiley face
jelly
discs.
I definitely know the ones. I skip over them, but I've definitely seen them. I know
they're so good. And of course, you've got to reach in with a shovel to the back so that you get the jellies that haven't been licked by toddlers. Listening to your man says a message from Helsinki, mother of 5 with newest being 6 weeks old. I suddenly feel like I want to move to Finland and leave it all behind. Sounds fab over there. Maybe I'll sleep on the idea. Well, as mother of 5 with 6 week old, if you get any sleep, you'll be doing well. My son played GAA football hurling in Bangkok, football in Madrid, and now hurling in London. GAA is a great way to meet people all over the world. It certainly is. It's always very, very inclusive. That is for sure. And not just abroad, here at home as well. Pat is in Cavan, but he's a proud Limerick man. How are you, Pat?
Hello, Dermot. How's it going?
Good, man. Before we find out what you've been up to, would you say a hurl or a hurley?
A hurley.
Hurley, yeah. See, anytime I say, in the last segment there on the radio, I said both just to cover myself, and I annoyed two separate camps of people because it depends on the county you're from. Some counties say hurl, some of them say hurley.
Well, it depends. You'd hurl a ball, but you'd play hurling and you'd have a hurley in your hand.
Yeah, but
does that make any sense?
It does make sense, but other counties say what you have in your hand is a hurl, not a hurley.
Yeah, but like, you know, if you're from Limerick and you're all Ireland champions, you can call it what you want.
Damn right. So where were you pucking around the ball?
We were in Lapland, yeah. We were in, where was it again? I can't remember the exact spot now. But yeah, we were, we went out, I rang up actually, first of all, the airline, I'd see, could I bring hurleys on the plane? And I said, no. So I got the right size hurleys to fit inside the luggage, and we just put them on, and we didn't bring them on carry-on. And we brought them out, and we just got strange looks in at reception, walking down with sticks in our hands and going out in the snow.
But why were you so desperate to, you know, normally, you know, you're packing a good hat and a scarf and all that. Why were you so desperate to bring the hurleys with you?
Well, the chance of me being inside the Arctic Circle again is fairly slim. So I thought, well, I've one chance of doing this. I actually am a bit annoyed because I thought we were the only ones to do it, and a bit annoyed with that club, which I'm delighted that it's happening, but that they actually... I thought I was the first one to do it, but I'm not.
No.
But they bust my bubble, they even set up a club, so I can't really top that. But anyway.
Yeah, well, they're down in Helsinki. You were up in Lapland, so I'm not sure if they're playing hurling up there.
Yeah. So we were up, way up. I think the name of it will come to me in a minute. I can't remember. But we were right up near the top, like, you know. So, the problem I had them playing it was, you couldn't, from the video there, you can't actually run for the slither. You have to kind of shuffle, you know, if it's coming towards you. So,
because of the snow?
Yeah, the snow was very slippery. It wasn't, you know, you wouldn't go sprinting for a ball in it, you know. So, but it was grand.
Yeah. Mad place up in Lapland. Did you go on the Huskies? You know where the Husky dogs sleigh?
Yeah. They were fantastic. And don't they? It wasn't really that... you're meant to do in Lapland, the snowmobiles, etc., and the reindeer stuff. But no, the Huskies were fantastic.
Yeah, so, and they're mad for it. Like, the Huskies just live to pull the sleigh. Yeah, that's all they want to do. And they stink as well. They're proper outdoor dogs. Yeah. They smell like dogs are meant to smell. They haven't got shampoo and conditioner like all ours.
No.
So that's cool. So you officially could be the only Irishman to have had a proper puck around in the Arctic Circle up in Lapland.
Yeah, well, I was thinking of getting in touch with the Guinness Book of Records to see, like, was there anything I could get out of, but I just didn't get a chance to yet.
I mean, that is the thought process of a true Limerick man. Lads, we're going to Lapland. Pack the hurleys.
Yeah.
All standing there in denim jackets, freezing your
butt off. Without a doubt.
Yeah. Pat, lovely to talk to you.
Right, thanks very much.
Up Limerick, up Cavan. Good luck.
Yes, indeed.
Bye.
I don't know, Marie, if you noticed a spring in my step today, if you thought that perhaps I was a little bit happier to be in the office than usual.
Brightly, yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because for the last 3 days, I've just been stay-at-home dad. So basically, my wife was away. Her parents live in Spain. She hadn't seen them since January 2020. It's time for her to go and see her parents. So that was great. Anyway, it meant that from Sunday afternoon until yesterday afternoon, I was it. I was dad. I was everything. And this shouldn't be...
And how many kids?
4 kids. Look, this is standard enough. This shouldn't be a thing. But I'm telling you, it's a thing, right? Because usually I leave the house at 6 in the morning and I get back after the school... So I miss all of the morning. I miss all the school run. And I get back after the school run is done. So that whole kind of world is alien to me. And... oh my God, there's just so much work. And those few hours were from when you get back home to when you have to go and get them again. How is that the quickest time that's ever existed?
The fastest.
Like, you're like, this is 5 hours. 5 hours. I could watch 2 giant movies. No, you sit down, have a cup of tea and go, oh, it's time to get the kids now. What happened? But I thought, like, I was quite confident going in. My wife was like, Tracy was like, look, you know, do you know about, like, uniforms and lunches and how much? I was like, you know, after school activities. I was like, Trace, I'm not an idiot. I'm a perfectly capable human. I would be able to get the kids off to school with lunchboxes on time. In fact, I don't even know why you struggle so much with it. Like, I'm sure it's no bother.
Oh, there's so much factors come into it.
Oh, my God. So Sunday night, I was determined, whatever happened, I was not ringing or texting Tracy about anything, any work stuff, any like...
And I'd say she was with her parents going, like, there's no way on this planet Earth that he hasn't run into something where he should have texted me by now.
So I really wanted to make sure that all of the messages were like, hope you're having a great time. Oh, so cool that you're hanging out with your folks. Oh, I did not want to say, where is this or how do I, whatever. So that was fine. So Sunday night, getting the uniforms ready. And I've twin daughters who are six. And if anyone is going to mess with my head, it's the two of them. So sitting in their room and I kind of go, okay, I need to get your uniforms ready. What do you wear? And she's like, I wear a skirt. And I was like, okay, found a skirt. Anna, she needs a shirt and she needs a tie. That's fine. Anna, what do you wear? I wear a pinafore, right? Pinafore, grand, shirt, tie, cool. Then I'm like, okay, what do you wear on top? And Nina's like, I wear a cardigan. I said, Anna, do you wear a cardigan too? She's like, no, I wear a jumper. I was like, okay. So found a jumper, found a cardigan. I'm boxed off. Girls are done, you know? Socks, knickers, ready to go. Shoes lined up. Woo!
Great.
Boss. Then I go into Sam's room, who's nine, look around, and I'm like, okay, I've got trousers, I've got a shirt, got a tie. There's no jumper. There's no jumper in his room. There's no jumper in the wash. There's no jumper in the hot press. There's no jumper. I'm like, okay, so I go into the other fella, and the older fella, he's got PE, so he's in a tracksuit, it's fine, Grant, whatever.
And he can dress himself?
He can dress himself.
He's how old is Andrew?
He's 11.
Okay.
So yeah, he's nearly 12. He's actually, he's no work at all. Anyway, so I'm like, okay, Grant. And I go back into Sam's room, I'm looking around, and I'm going, no, there's no jumper. And I've literally turned the place upside down. I'm bad at looking at things. Like, usually it's one of the things like, hey, there's no whatever. And then Tracy's down there holding the thing going, there's none of this thing that you said.
Happens a lot in our house.
I'm that guy, okay? So, but I made sure. Like, I properly looked for everything. And then there was no jumper. So I had no choice but to text her and go, hey, sorry to interrupt your first night, which I'm sure is full of rosé and sunshine. But listen, I just need one thing. So I just said, I've no jumper for Sam. It's not in his room. Kind of. She's like, yeah, no, Sam's jumper's there. Like, sure, I just washed it before I left. I was like, no. I was like, I have tracksuit for Andrew. I have all the stuff for Nina with the cardigan. And I have the stuff with the jumper for Anna. And her text back to me was simple. It was, Dave, Anna has never worn a jumper to school in her life, and she doesn't own a jumper.
So she was wearing Sam's jumper.
She was basically saying
she's
to
messing
me,
with you.
Completely messing with me, going, yeah, you give me a jumper. And then, like, that, this was just the beginning tone of the entire 3-4 days. The after school activities, I was going to be boxed off because there's a thing on the fridge. I had nothing to do with it, but it's every day and it's boxed off and it says, you know, Monday, 4 o'clock. You know, Sam tennis.
Yeah.
Monday, 7 o'clock, Andrew football. Monday, 7 o'clock, Sam football. Monday, 5 o'clock, girls gymnastics. Whatever it is, it's all there. Yeah. I'm like, woo. So tennis was the first thing of the week. Did the school run. It was all fine. Got them home. They all liked their lunches. I was starting to feel really confident. So went looking for tennis rackets. We've like 15 tennis rackets in the house. Nowhere. No tennis rackets. I was nearly going to text a friend of Tracy's to go, can I borrow your son's tennis racket? But I went, no, because he's gone to tennis as well, so I can't even ask him. So eventually, under the sofa in the playroom, I found a tennis racket. Now, it's my tennis racket, and it's absolutely massive, and Sam is 9. But anyway, he was gone with his tennis racket. It was fine. Put the ball into the car, drove up to tennis. Come on, I'm sweating. We're late. Come on. Get down to tennis. There's no one there. I was like,
oh, no.
Oh, my God. It's the wrong day. No, I was like, I looked in the fridge, and then Derek, who's the tennis man, came out of the clubhouse and was like, there's the tennis doesn't start until next week.
Oh,
okay,
no.
Everyone back in the car. Come on. So didn't admit that to Tracy. So if she's listening, she's hearing it for
now.
The first time. And then by Wednesday, yesterday morning, they just turned feral on me. So again, one of the kids was fully dressed and then decided to brush their teeth. I always try and make them brush their teeth before they get fully dressed because they
that's
can't,
a rookie mistake, yeah.
They can't control where the toothpaste suds go. Anyway, I said, do not get toothpaste on your jumper. And this child squirted toothpaste onto the toothbrush, then rubbed their finger into the toothpaste and then, staring at me the whole time, rubbed it straight down the middle of the jumper and then just like hands out going, what are you going to do? And like literally sabotaged me. So then it was a case of that goes in the wash, steal another jumper off another child. And I don't know.
I'd like, make them wear it. Wear it to school and be the toothpaste kid. That's what I'd have done.
Although I wouldn't mind. It's so hot the last few days. They literally got into school and everyone took their jumpers off to put them in their bags.
They're running rings around you, Dave.
Look, I don't know. Like
I remember from when we were younger because Mom was at home with us and Dad was out working. Mm. And if Mom was ever away and Dad would be at home, we'd be like, oh, see what he makes for dinner. What's he going to make for dinner? This is so exciting.
And also, they know I don't know about lunches. And like, so on Sunday, we kind of went shopping. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And they were like, yeah, we got to get cheese strings and dairy dunkers. And I was like, whoa, do you get them for lunch? Yeah, every day we get them. I was like, okay. So then yesterday when Tracy got home and she was like, how was lunch? I was like, yeah, fine. They had their sandwiches, their fruit, their cheese strings, their dunkers. She's like, they're what? They don't get them. And they're all sitting sheepishly in the corner going, hee-hee-hee. So yes, was given the runaround by my children. But I tell you, I am glad to be back at work today. And hats off to anyone who's stay-at-home parent. Hats off to anyone, by the way, like you, Maria, who for some point was working from home and being a stay-at-home parent.
Okay, do you know what? It's all a blur to me because it was so mental.
Yeah. And then, the single parents in the world, you guys are the absolute superheroes.
Heroes.
Don't know how you do it. 087-4100-102. Drop us a text or a WhatsApp, lads, if you've any advice for me how to better handle it next time. Or any stories about how your kids ran rings around you. Oh my God, Dave, I have twins, age 7, and they would do the exact same thing. It's so funny. But my husband would not hold back, and he would just keep texting. Listen, after the first uniform debacle on Sunday, I just had to admit defeat. And then it was just like every question I had, I just had to do it. Diane says, it's like heaven listening to you on about this, Dave. I always say to myself, I'd love to leave the hubby for 2 days and let him deal with everything. Only I wouldn't put the kids through the stress. He hasn't a clue. Well, I certainly learned that I also don't have a clue. I was left alone with the kids because my lovely wife was heading off to Spain to see her parents. Helen's in Cork City. Hiya, Helen.
Morning, Dave. How are you?
Good. Are you doing something similar yourself?
I am. Next Thursday, I'm heading away with 8 more women. That is a holiday in the making with about 2 years.
Wow.
And I know. Eventually, can't believe it's happening. And leaving my Dave with 3 of our kids.
What age are the kids?
7.5, 6, and 4.
7.5, 6, and 4. Yeah, I mean, that's I'm slightly older than that, but not by much. So I know exactly what your Dave is going to be going through. How do you think he'll fare with the 3 kids?
Well, to be fair, he's actually very good. And he does, I work shift work, and I do, like you, I'd be gone in the morning, some mornings, you know, 6:30. Yeah. So he does do the getting ready in the morning and all that, and he's well able, in fairness. But he'll have a little bit of help.
You know, see, that's the thing. I thought I was well able, I'll be honest with you, Helen. Now maybe the wives are better judges of the husbands in this case, but I definitely thought I was going to be sailing through this. And no, that was not the case whatsoever.
I know.
But sure. We'll see how Dave does. And come here, so you and 8 friends, that's going to be one hell of a break in Spain.
Yeah.
And
can't wait.
My wife Tracy was just saying that the weather was so perfect. It wasn't roasting hot, but it was warm enough that you never needed anything other than a strappy dress morning, noon and night. No jackets, no cardigans, nothing.
Yes. That's all we're looking for, just a little bit of peace and quiet. Nobody looking for a sandwich or toilet.
Exactly. Well, Helen, enjoy yourself and best of luck to Dave and the kids.
I will, of course. Thank you.
All right, see you later. Bye-bye. Laugh and listen to you, Dave, recount the week you had and the school struggle. Yesterday, I stopped the car halfway up our lane because the youngest didn't brush his teeth. Apparently, he forgot. I made him get out, walk back, brush his teeth, and then walk back to the car. He didn't forget this morning. The school run is torture. It really is torture. Like, it's one of the hardest things. You think, it's just 4 kids. Just get them dressed and get them into a car with a bit of breakfast in their belly. No. It's so much more difficult than I thought. I have 3 kids. May as well have 4 with the husband. He's the biggest child. And just like your wife, I too hold up the thing he's looking for that's right in front of him. Say a prayer to St. Anthony and use your eyes. Yeah, I'm definitely guilty of not being able to find anything.
I'm starting a TV show here now in a minute.
A TV show on radio?
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Why?
To prove a point, do you know? Okay. Because a lot of people say that all the regulations around COVID-19 are confusing. Mm. And I want to prove that they're not. Oh. They're very clear. In fact, they're as clear as Phil Hogan's diary. they're absolutely clear. All right? That's why today, Norny, I am playing COVID Mastermind.
Not Halloween COVID Mastermind.
Yeah, so You can ask me any questions you want on the regulations and I'll prove to you that I know the answer to everything.
I'm Magnus Magnusson.
You are.
Okay, here we go. Welcome to Mastermind.
Thank you.
Your name?
Nonny Considine. Sorry, should I give my full name?
Please.
Nonny Bendel Medina Considine.
Your occupation?
A seller of chocolate.
And your chosen specialised subject?
COVID regulations, 2020, Kate.
Here are your questions and your time starts now. In phase two, how many people are allowed at a wedding?
50 at the reception.
Correct.
250 more in a secret room out the back.
I have a sore throat and bleeding gums. Do I have COVID?
No, you've been eating fizz bombs.
Correct. In a hospital, what do the following letters mean? ICU.
ICU. It means you've lost at a game of hide and seek.
Correct. What happens in phase one?
You can't touch anyone in the Mickey.
What happens in phase five?
You can't even touch your own Mickey.
It's phase four. I have a communion, a bar mitzvah, and it's during Ramadan. What should I do?
Pick a religion, you confused gold.
What happens if you don't fail a COVID test?
Pass.
Correct.
What?
You've been sitting in a wet pub for 104 minutes. What do you do?
Fix the leak and order 5 Jaeger bombs.
Correct.
They'll try you out in a minute.
When is it okay? I've started, so I'll finish.
Well, I'm nearly finished, so I'll start.
No, I'll continue.
Are you starting?
Yeah.
Okay, finish away, so.
When is it okay to have a public gathering in phase five?
Phase five? Oh, Lord, sacred heart, size heart's cross-facing me. Are you kind of hot? It's like 28 days later, carnage, zombies in the streets looking for brains. You cannot have any public gathering in level five, phase five.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Ah. You can have a public gathering in Phase 5 if you're part of the Oireachtas Golf Society.
Oh!
The end of this round, you have scored 6 points and you have won COVID Mastermind!
Thank you! Goodbye to Kate, everybody!
Congratulations!
Before I go, can I plug my vaccine?
You have a vaccine?
Oh yeah, I've invented it. I have it in the primary.
What is it?
It's a sherbet dip mixed with blue Mr. Freeze injected straight into the eye socket.
Does it work?
It works about as well as me, Hal Martin. Hey!
Haribo, according to somebody, was founded by Hans Rieger from Bonn in Germany. Hans Rieger Bonn Bo. He wanted a name that was easy to remember and wasn't associated with anything else already. Haribo.
Well, it absolutely isn't because it's a made up word.
But it's still made up of his name and where he's from. I love this. Not an acronym, but the LA Angels baseball team, when you translate it, stands for the Angels Angels. Because Los Angeles means the Angels.
Oh.
So the LA Angels is the Angels Angels, which is amazing. 087-4100-102, drop us a text or a WhatsApp. Maybe you want to ask a question about 0909, because apparently it's a day of deep meaning, according to our friend and our resident numerologist, Grainne Tindall from Numbers for Success. Grainne, how are you?
Dave, it's a pleasure to talk to you
and
again.
You as always. As you know, Dermot is usually here to defend you and your numerology staunchly, but he's on his holidays. So Maria, who also loves numerology.
Oh, I love it.
She loves it more than Dermot. She's here.
I'm
so
glad you're here, Maria.
I'm glad you're here, Grainne.
So come here. 0909. Is it indeed a day of deep meaning, Grainne?
Oh, it is. And especially for you, Dave. It really
wow.
is. Because it's all about universal love.
Okay.
So, now, isn't that the way to start?
Well, and that's what I love now. Everyone just showing each other love and being happy in the universe. That suits me down to the ground.
Absolutely. And it really is. It is about universal love. It's the welfare of humanity. And it can be broken into five parts, actually. And it's humanitarianism, tolerance, compassion, idealism, and philanthropy, which is a very big word.
Right.
And they basically, those different values are all about what we can bring in today into our everyday lives. So the nine is all about love, and it's about a higher love, and it's a universal love, and it's about kindfulness, which I think is a lovely word, Dave.
Oh, kindfulness.
Kindfulness. Today is a day to be kind. It's about gratitude, acceptance, but it's also about letting go of what no longer serves.
So when a day like this comes, the 9-9, it's the double energy. So it means it's a very important number and energy to adhere to. So it really much suggests that it's a time to let go of the personal ego. I know you don't have one.
Oh,
day,
none here.
Yeah, Grania.
Yeah, Maria's laughing.
And opening up your heart, which I'm sure you have.
Of course.
And it's a beautiful day in terms of letting your big dreams and, you know, come to the fore, and also helping those less fortunate. So it's a real day to, in the philanthropy piece, not necessarily to have to donate money, but you can donate time and energy to maybe helping people who are going through a bit of a tough time. And
see,
that's what today,
Grania,
is about.
I love this. I love the idea of there being a universal day of love. And as you said, we embrace gratitude and we help other people out. But why could this not have been yesterday, 0809, or tomorrow, 1009? This is what,
The number. It's the power of the number.
Maria,
it's doubled.
What do you feel? Oh, you feel 0909, double nines is important?
Well, 0909 obviously doubles the value of the nine. And what that stands for. Is that right, Grania?
Absolutely, Maria. Top marks, gold star. Yes. And it's also a new word here for Dave as well, and for yourself. It's a palindromic day. Palindromic. Oh. So it's one of those days that the 09 and the 09, they're the same.
No, hang on, Grania. I hate to be that guy, but you're talking to Dave here. A palindrome of a number would be 0990.
Not necessarily, no, it's just the 2-9.
Okay,
it's
2-9.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But it is kind of it is an important number, though, and it is a number of endings, so it's the last of the single digits in numerology.
Okay.
So for those who have nines in their numbers, they're usually people who are extremely caring, and they're very much here to, as I say, the welfare of humanity. So they're people who want to make a difference, and I feel today the day to tell all your lovely listeners that it's a day to make a difference. So do one thing today to bring love and kindfulness, our new word, into the world. And it really will have a ripple effect, because we really are the co-creators of our lives. Well, I'm sure you know
that. And if you pay it forward, then it'll keep it going, won't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So true, Maria. And it's so needed at this time. And even the tolerance piece is, you know, understanding that everyone has different points of view, but trying to meet a common ground.
Yeah, Maria's not very tolerant when I walk in late or I'm spill tea on the desk here and wreck everything.
No.
There's no kindfulness involved then, I can tell you.
No, not with you.
Come here, Grania. Someone says, my daughter's birthday, Grania, is 090909. What do you think that means?
Oh, that's someone who's probably going to be in the arts.
Right.
Because the nine is about the arts. It's about theatre, drama.
God, prepare yourself, parent, for a life of supporting your child, because they won't have a job. They'll be in the arts like all of us here in radio.
Indeed. But they'll have high values. So
high value. Someone says, yes, my son was born 0909-2020. He's one today. And here at the other end of the scale, this is amazing. 0909 is important, as my dad turns 91 today. And speaking
wonderful.
Of those numbers, Grania, 0909, he was 9-0 last year.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. I love when I see numbers repeated, because they're major messages. Again, they're sort of messages from the universe to get us to wake up and smell the coffee or smell the
roses.
Gotcha.
One more question before we let you go, Grania, which is, can you ask Grania whether Mayo will win Sam Maguire on Saturday? So now people want you to be a sports psychic as well as a numerologist.
No. Well, I really think they will.
There you go. That's all we needed. There's your kindfulness moment for the day.
Grania
thinks that Mayo will win the All-Ireland on Saturday. Grania Tindall, you are the best crack in Ireland. Thank you so much for chatting to us again today.
Thanks.
See you later.
You.
Bye. You can find Grania on Numbers for Success.
I love her.
Yes, Maria does love her. I love Grania.
I listen to her all day, but all of the numbers. And what does two mean? What about five?
Two is a good number, Maria. Two songs going head-to-head. Cheese and Crackers coming your way after Coldplay and Chainsmokers. Two bands together on 2 Day FM. Oh, my God. We have a question in as a WhatsApp voice note, but the listener wishes to remain anonymous and has asked us to affect their voice. I just say her voice. It's a lady. It doesn't matter. Affect her voice in such a way that she cannot be identified. So our two choices are high.
Too much or too little. Thank you.
Or, indeed, obviously, low.
Too much or too little. Thank you.
So the people have spoken and you guys want to hear it low. So here we are.
Oh, good. I would have picked low.
Would you pick low? Okay,
yeah.
Marie would have picked low as well. Okay, so low, here is the question from the listener.
Hi, Dave. I have my niece's first Holy Communion this weekend, and I was just wondering, would you mind asking your listeners what's the going rate for a niece or a nephew? I don't have a clue, and I don't want to give too much or too little. Thank you.
She just sounds very tired. And it's like, this is the last thing she can muster before she's actually going
she's
to just nod off.
She's in witness protection. That's what it sounds like.
Okay, but I suppose the question is an important one. Niece's communion this weekend, how much for a niece or a nephew in terms of the uncle or aunt giving them the money? What's the going rate? And this is a very valid question because I am in the throes of Holy Communion time because our fella Sam will be doing his in October.
Oh, brilliant.
But it also means that tons of his friends are going to come around to the house type job and go, hey, Dave, what's going on? And they'll be looking for money. And I don't know how much to give. Now, I know specifically this person is talking about uncle and aunt, niece and nephews. Let's maybe deal with that first.
Well, I would say, for friends, I would say a fiver.
Okay.
Like grand.
Because there's so many of them.
There's so many of them. Yeah, fiver. But for a niece or a nephew, it's a tricky one because I think the aunts and uncles are the ones that are meant to give kind of the most. Do you think?
Is it not grandparents?
Well, along with the grandparents.
Okay, so family. Yeah.
I don't know. Would you go like 30 quid? Is that too much?
I think I've heard, look, you hear stories, right?
I feel like 50 is too much and 20 is just not enough.
I've heard 50s. I've heard 50s. And did you see that video? Were you talking about this at all during the week? Where a Dublin family, the grandparents got the kid the balloon.
No. We didn't talk about it.
Okay, so if you haven't seen it, it's amazing. Just search communion balloon, you'll see it. So the grandparents tied a 100 euro note. They had to go to the bank and get it. Oh. Tied a 100 euro note to a helium balloon, put it in a box. The kid opened the box, the balloon flew off into the sky with the 100 euro
How
note.
Did they not? And somebody at the end of the video was like, I told you!
I was just going to say that it was... And it flew off into oblivion. I really, really hope that kid got his money. But anyway... I've heard 50 for relations.
I think 50 is too much. Like, okay, so think back to when you made your communion.
But come on, when I made my communion, we were dealing with punts, Maria. And like, I remember I went to the post office with my post office book afterwards and I lodged £78 and I was literally a millionaire. So you can't really...
Oh, no, well, you can because the child's brain hasn't changed. Do you know what I mean? From when you were...
What? My kids
years
are
of
like...
age to when Sam is now. So if you hand a nine-year-old 30 quid, a 20 and a 10, or even better, two fivers, and then it's three notes they got. Like, is that... Are they not just going to go, yes?
Yeah,
and have the same reaction that they would if they took out a 50.
I
don't think
so.
They're fully able to appreciate the difference between getting 30 quid and 50 quid.
The only reason I think that my nine-year-old and maybe other people's nine-year-olds can differentiate between values of money now is because of Pokemon cards and match attacks. He knows that Pokemons are like, you know, a fiver a packet. And match attacks are now adrenaline, Panini adrenaline cards this year. They're a euro packet. So he is sitting there 100% going, 30 quid. That's only six packet of Pokemon Endless Skies or whatever the hell the newest Pokemon thing is allowed to deal with. So I don't know. I think he has a concept that I think if he offered him one 50 euro note or like six fivers, he'd be like, 50.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's just him.
Do you know what? I remember I got coins. Sellotape to the inside of cards.
Yes!
So I remember emptying my little communion bag out when I got home to count everything and it was like vast majority coins.
It was kind of like Halloween.
Yeah.
You poured all your money out onto the thing.
A toy soldier.
What do you guys think? 0874100102. So aunts and uncles, this is what specifically the listener is asking, but I suppose if you have a range of prices you could let us know. Because godparents... Or another thing, because you've been chosen. Oh, hang on, Maria. Have you got experience
I'd
of this?
I'd go 50.
See, godparents, 50.
Because you have to stand out. You have to go, I'm your godmother.
Yeah.
I gave you 50. But your auntie over there only gave you 30.
And do you think that there's any pressure on the parents? Because obviously I'll be one of these parents next month. Do you think there's any pressure on the parents to kind of set limits or say to the family, guys, you only need to throw them a fiver? Or like, is it like...
No, because I think that's very presumptuous, isn't it? And now I know everyone's going to like give money or whatever, but to go, hey guys, I know you're all going to give my kid money. Like, can we just keep it to 30? Like, I think that's a bit cheeky. Do you not?
Well, are you not also sitting there rubbing your hands with glee going, I really hope to give him a lot of money so I don't have to buy him anything for ages because he'll have loads of money in his Revolut. That's what I'm going to do because I'm terrible. Let us know, 087-4100-102. So aunts and uncles specifically, please, to help the listener out. But if you have any ranges of what you think should be given to kids for communion, you can let us know. Anne's been on to us.
Aunts and uncles, 30, and godparents, 50. Going over that is just crazy. They're just 9-year-old kids, and it's plenty of money to give a 9-year-old.
And I agree.
For the crack, Anne, I pitch you high.
Aunts and uncles, 30, and godparents, 50.
The crack. Okay, let us go to the phones. Deirdre is on the line. Hi, Deirdre.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. What do you think about this? Aunts and uncles, what do you think they should be giving the nieces and nephews?
Well, I personally have given 50, but fundamentally I always say to people, give what you can afford. And and people should appreciate what you actually give. Because everybody's situation is slightly different.
Yeah.
You know, and all depending on how many nieces and nephews they actually have.
That's but, the key thing, what? Isn't it? Sorry, dear. Yeah. Like, you could come from a very small family where, let's say, there's two kids in your family, so you and a brother or a sister or whatever, and you have kids, and your kids could be really close, and then you dote on them, and maybe 50 quid seems totally reasonable. But then you could also have 8 or 9 siblings and be like, hang on a sec, 50 quid every time one of their kids turns 9 is a lot of money.
I've loads of nieces and nephews. Should that have bankrupt me altogether?
Yeah, same here. I nearly have a birthday every week. But the thing is, I think people should have cut it back and say, well, what can this person afford and be grateful for what the person has given? Personally, that's what I think.
I think that's the way they used to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know, and everyone was delighted with the few bob they got, you know, and you put it away. And if you think about it, if you hand a kid 50 euros and there's about 20 or 30 aunts and uncles or whatever, or, you know, extended family, my God, that's quite a lot of money for an 8-year-old, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just seeing like a new car for daddy. It's like what I'm seeing here.
You can't
like,
take the money.
Oh, I'll look after that for you, son. I don't want you to get too good. Yeah, I know. I shouldn't be thinking that way. But
there is another text in that says, I've also started giving the nieces jewellery as I feel they don't appreciate money and they'll have something to keep. I love that idea. I think that's way better.
Yeah, I think it's nice. I think a gift is always good as well. I mean, obviously, depending on the kid, but it's a jersey or something like that that they could have as a memory or something, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Something they can put up and go, oh, I actually got that from my auntie Claire for my Holy Communion, so I'm going to keep it nice and safe. Yeah, I like that.
I think you've got lovely images of the kids, but they're sitting there going, I can't believe Auntie Claire gave me a jersey when I wanted 30 quid off her.
Stupid clothes.
Deirdre, thanks a million for that.
See you later.
Bye. There's another message in from Stephen.
What is the deal with giving somebody money for making their confirmation or their communion? I don't understand why you would give money for a communion. Don't get me wrong. I have received it when it was my day back in the day. And it wasn't as much as the kids are getting now. Kids nowadays have way, way too much. And if a child looks down at you when you give them money for a communion and it's not enough, that child doesn't deserve anything.
And Stephen, like, as you said yourself, you were happy to receive it in your day. And, you know, just because you're right about the attitude. Obviously, the kids should, you know, should appreciate it. But inflation is the thing. There's another message that says, I'm Dutch and this whole communion business is new to me. Ours had his 2 years ago. He got 50 euro from everyone. Grandparents gave more, uncles, aunties, friends and family. Everyone gave 50. And it turned into a competition the next Monday. How much did you get? Unreal. I think it's the craziest money thing for kids. And for what? Why money? And then they say, I'm still in the blue, which I hope is a Dutch phrase that we don't have in English, because I don't understand I'm still in the blue. Do you? Am I missing out on something?
Maybe it doesn't mean I'm still in the dark.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Maybe that's their phrase. That'd be so beautiful if that was their phrase. I'm still in the dark. I'm still in the blue.
Maybe it's really rude. You've just said it on the radio.
Unlikely. Yeah, look, I suppose the competition thing, I remember that as a 7-year-old. I remember going into school the next day and
do you remember
literally.
How much you made?
Yeah, 78 pounds.
And I think I made 180 pounds.
See, that's a lot of money. And I remember we brought our post office savings books in to show each other on Monday how much
proof.
Money. Well, it wouldn't have been the Monday, it would have been maybe the following week or something. But yeah, we had to prove to each other how much we had. Dave, just give your son's friends Asher Look at Isn't That It t-shirts. You'd automatically become the most popular guy in the class. Yeah. As Tig from Cork. Smart
or today
idea.
FM pens.
I think if I gave the lads pens, they'd be looking at me going, what are you talking about?
Just go, look, it's probably about time you're using pens for your handwriting in school.
Okay, so for communion, says the text, aunt and uncle, €50, godparents, €50, plus a piece of jewellery like a watch or a chain. I agree. I think €50 plus a Rolex Seamaster is absolutely what should be given to every kid.
And a Lamborghini.
Yeah, I'll give you my wrist size. Fiona here in Drogheda, recently at my son's communion, he was getting mostly €50 from aunts and uncles, some €30. He was as happy with the fiver from the neighbours as he was with the big money. I don't think they care once they get something.
Yeah, once they get, as Rian calls them, tickets. Like the paper money is tickets. Once it's like paper money inside, they're delighted, I think.
Yeah, I think if you're talking about Rian, who's three, I think I get you.
No, but
I think
I have a bonus child who is nine and made his communion last year. And he, whenever he opened any card, which let's face it, he doesn't care. You don't even have to write on the inside of the card.
No.
Like he just opened it and the money fell out and he'd be like, yes. He didn't even know how much it was, didn't care. It just went in the pile of money.
Well, I suppose certainly they're not going to remember which card the money fell out of. So if you give a fiver and someone else gives a 50, they won't remember that. Morning, guys. I made my Holy Communion in England many moons ago. There were no cash gifts. We got holy pictures, cards or rosary beads, even crucifixes, but only religious tokens. I did get jewellery from my parents. There was a small party thrown for all the kids at the church hall in the afternoon, and that was it. Yeah, there are definitely other ways of doing it, but this is the Irish way for sure. I'm on my way from Wexford to Donegal for my niece's communion right now, says Esna. Anna Sweeney, if you're listening, you're getting €30. There you go. That's one in practice. Shamey here from Cove. I gave my nephew, who's my godson, €100 and he threw it back in my face and told me I was supposed to get him a PlayStation and started crying in the hotel where we went for grub and wouldn't eat anything. If I got £5, I would have been delighted, the cheeky fecker. Yeah, well, there's something to be said for rearing your kids right, all right. John's got a point for us.
I think you're missing a very important point when you're talking about how much money children get for their communion. It's the parents that are going to keep an eye on the sum of money, and they're going to comment on how much or how little somebody gave.
Right, so not the kids need to worry about it. It's the mammies and daddies going, do you believe Maria Devereaux only gave €10 to her godchild? It's a disgrace. That's actually a disgrace. Now, our next guest is going to attempt something quite mad. Peter Bracken is a former professional rugby player, and along with his friend, Mikey Smith, also a former professional rugby player, they're planning to drive around the country in 24 hours while singing a song in each of the counties, all 32 counties. To explain this better than I can, Peter Bracken is on the line now. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm not bad at all. Tell us about this mad adventure you're going on, where you're going to drive around 32 counties singing 32 songs and all to raise money for a great cause.
Yes, Dave. Yeah, so myself and my friend Mikey Smith were taking on a challenge over the weekend of the 18th to 19th of September. So we're going to drive all 32 counties of Ireland in a fully electric car. And Mikey's going to sing a song in every county. He's going to sing a song on the hour and sing a song every time we pass through a county border.
Okay.
And we're doing it all in the aid of Rare Diseases Ireland, which is an umbrella group for all the small charities for the smaller rare diseases of Ireland. So there's about 50 charities involved in Rare Diseases Ireland.
And why would you have chosen that? I mean, it's a very worthy cause, and obviously the rarer diseases tend to, you know, be, as you said, a little bit more niche and specialised, so they maybe don't get the funding. But have you guys individually have any experience with rare diseases, and you have a reason for choosing that charity?
Yeah, well, we all know people with rare diseases. So there's myself and Mikey and Wayne Brennan. Wayne is a photographer and he has a friend with a rare disease as well. But personally, myself, my ex-wife, Rachel, has Addison's disease. So, you know, she lives with that on a daily...
What is Addison's disease? Because, I mean, obviously, its nature is that it's rare, so not everybody would know about it.
Yes, and there's only about 30 people in the whole of Ireland with it. So it's an autoimmune disease. So pretty much the hormones and they kind of shut down and you die if you're not treated.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's basically a hormone version of insulin. So without daily medication, You die, but it, once you have it, you can live a full life or whatever.
Okay, that's good news, yeah. But like anything, the treatment of Addison's disease needs funding. And, you know, this is why you're doing it, to raise funds for Rare Diseases Ireland.
Exactly. And do you know what? Look, in the Western world, in Ireland and whatever, you shouldn't need to go out trying to raise money, begging for money, begging governments to actually give what I feel is a human right to people, you know, medication to keep them alive and keep them healthy. And, you know, unfortunately, all these charities, whether it's cancer or mental health or across the board, you know, I feel you shouldn't have to have organizations fighting your corner, but unfortunately you do. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help them as much as we can to fight their corner.
Okay, well, let's talk about the practicality of the undertaking then, Peter, because you're going to drive 32 counties, as you said, over the course of a day or so, 24 hours.
Yes.
Now, the nature of Ireland seems very straightforward, that you would begin in Galway, and I know the lads at Connolly Motors in Galway are giving you the electric car, but you begin there and you make your way clockwise around the country. But would it not be the case that that'll take you around the coast? Well, what about all the Midlands?
Well, that's it. Yeah, we're actually starting from Connolly's in Ballina.
Oh, sorry, Ballina, County Mayo. Yes, I see that. Sorry.
Yeah, in Mayo, and finishing in Connolly Motors in Galway.
That's so where my confusion was. Yeah.
yeah. So, and as you said, we're going clockwise. So we go up kind of straight to Sligo, Donegal, across the six counties down to the Pale, and then across to the Midlands like Westmeath, Laois, Offaly, and then we're heading a beeline towards Waterford, and we're taking the east coast then across the south basically.
Okay.
And then up the west.
So not completely clockwise with a bit of a skew ways into the Midlands and then around you go.
Yes.
And is the idea with the electric car, has that got any role to play in the sense, are you trying to complete the whole thing in the electric car on one charge, or will you be charging on the way, or what will you be doing?
Yeah, we'll be charging along the way. And I suppose the whole point is to prove that electric cars can do the job. They can do the job in Ireland that any petrol or diesel car can do. And there's plenty of charging in the country. It always needs to improve, and it is improving all the time. But I find people are a little bit wary of the electric cars because they think they're going to get stuck or whatever.
Oh, it's that wonderful phrase, Peter. Range anxiety. Range anxiety.
There's no, it's an absolute myth. It's only range anxiety until you start driving an electric car. And then that goes pretty quickly after a week. And, you know, so basically you could, we'll be able to drive this challenge, 32 counties of Ireland, in the same time it would take to do a petrol or diesel car. Because you can drive, electric cars can go 400 kilometres now at the moment. And the ID4 Volkswagen that Connolly's are giving me, it'll do, you know, 400 kilometres. So you're talking 5 hours of driving, really, before you need to charge.
Absolutely.
And then you charge 45 minutes for an hour. But if you're driving petrol or diesel, surely if you're driving safely, you'd need to refresh and, you know, have something to eat, go to the toilet or whatever. So if you're driving safely, you need that rest anyway.
Oh, gotcha.
So, yeah. So
now, come here. You're a former rugby player. Mikey, was he a former rugby player too?
Yes. So we both played for
Connacht,
but we missed out on playing with each other. So Mikey left Connacht the year, and I arrived the following year. So we got, we both played professionally. And then since then, Mikey's gone into music, and I've gone into all things environment, really.
Right. Well, look, hopefully, and thankfully you've chosen something like the ID4 that has enough room, because I wouldn't like to try and fit, you know, two rugby players and Wayne and all his equipment to making videos and photographs if the car was any smaller than an ID4.
It's a big SUV. It's massive.
Yeah.
And again, look, electric cars aren't going to save the world on their own. Like, if you can walk, walk, and if you can cycle, cycle. They're always the best options, or use public transport. But, you know, some cases people need a car, and there's good options out there. So thanks very much to Connolly's to sort me out with the car.
And come here, what about Mikey? Like, it sounds great that he'll be singing the song, and I think as you hit county number 26, you'd be like, will this fella ever shut up and like put Dermot and Dave back on the radio? Like, how are you going to be feeling then at that stage?
Well, tough tiddly. Yeah, Mikey signed up for it, so he's not backing out. I'm not going to let him back out now. No, we did a bit of a trial run over a weekend a couple of weeks ago for, and we did it for our local autism charity here, and we got around the 32 counties, and Mikey was singing. And, you know, look, it was tough going, but we plugged away, and we got good reaction, and people enjoyed it, and Mikey's a good singer, so people got involved, and we said... But after that, we said to each other, I reckon we could do this in 24 hours.
All right, so you're just adding challenges left, right and centre. Well, look, I'm glad Mikey's a good singer, because, God, I wouldn't want to put your ears through it if he wasn't. But Peter Bracken, the main question people want to know is, how can they follow you with what's going on, and how can they donate?
Yes, we have two special... Facebook page and an Instagram page, and both of them are Peter Tries 32 Counties, and it's Peter Tries, and try T-R-Y as in the rugby try.
Oh yes,
I used to play rugby. And that's Facebook and Instagram. Donation page will be on there, and there's, you can also go ahead directly to Rare Diseases Ireland, RDI, and you can donate there as
Brilliant.
Well.
Well, Peter, we wish you and Mikey and Wayne the best. It's a great thing you're doing. And as you said, raising awareness and funds for rare diseases is very important. So thanks for coming on. Thanks for telling us, and best luck with the trip.
Thank you very much, Dave. Love what you're doing.
Thanks, Peter. All the best to you.
Cheers.
What an amazing thing to be doing. That's Peter Bracken there, former professional rugby player himself, and his friend Mikey Smith's going to be doing it. And Wayne Brennan going to be in there documenting the whole thing. So if you get a chance to donate, that'll be really brilliant, because they're doing something just very interesting and very different. Usher, You Make Me Wanna. It's Dermot and Dave on Today FM. Here's an interesting story for you. It's really not that interesting. When I was finished my degree in Trinity, because obviously all radio people do degrees that have got nothing to do with radio, I did business studies in Russian. I then went and studied music for a year, and then worked in music for 5 years before radio came along. But anyway, in my music course after my degree, I was doing this music course, and I had to kind of rearrange a song, and I rearranged Usher's You Make Me Wanna as a jazz trio, and got a distinction. So there you go. There's your completely useless, utterly boring fact of the day.
Listen back to more from the Dermot and Dave Show on todayfm.com.
Dermot and Dave.
Weekday mornings from 9 on Today FM.